So, you got some new Star Wars content for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And in this one, we're going to be following OSHA.
Amazing. Occupational safety is very important.
Right, but also that's her name, and she's going to be falsely accused of a crime.
What's the crime?
Well, her sister May's going to have this big old fight against a Jedi named Indara, who I figure we could get Carrie Ann Moss to play.
Trinity? Oh boy, that'll be a big draw for the show. So what does she do?
Ah, die immediately.
Okay, well, I'm still going to pretend like she's a main character when we promote the show.
Sounds like a good idea. So since May and OSHA look exactly alike, and everybody thinks May is dead, OSHA gets blamed.
Was she nearby?
Not even a little bit. She was off putting out space fires, but a bartender saw her, so...
Space fires?
Fires in space, that's right. So she gets arrested and put on a prisoner ship piloted by robots.
They think she killed a Jedi, so they put her on an unmanned ship?
That's what we're going with. So this ship ends up crashing, and then she reunites with her old Jedi Master, Soul.
Okay.
And she explains to him, like, hey, I think my sister might be alive, but he's like, no, I watched her die.
Yeah, sounds like there's some history between these two.
Oh, there sure is, sir. That's the whole basis of the show. But to explain that, we're gonna have to go back 16 years.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, no, don't worry. I'll just tell you what happened.
Okay, yeah, that's better for me.
So OSHA and May were raised by a bunch of space witches, and May wants to become a space witch, but OSHA doesn't really wanna.
There are career paths other than space witch, sure.
So then they're having this big ceremony to become space witches, and they do this little chant.
A chant?
Yeah, they're like, the power of one, the power of two, the power of many. So anyway, then Soul and some other Jedi show up, and they maybe want to train these kids to become Jedi, because they have a high M count.
M count? You mean midichlorians?
Well, yes, but people made fun of that, so now I'm scared to say it out loud.
Fair enough.
So they do some tests on these girls, but then this Padawan really wants to go home, so he rushes back to the temple confrontationally.
That's his motivation? He wants to leave?
ASAP. He doesn't like the food he's currently eating, so he risks and ruins everything.
Understandable, I guess. So what happens?
Well, the Mother Witch turns into a big scary smoke monster, so Soul kills her with a lightsaber.
Close one.
Actually, no, he shouldn't have, because she's like, I was gonna let OSHA go become a Jedi.
She probably shouldn't have changed into a scary monster then.
Yeah, well, if there's no miscommunication in this show, then there is no show.
Oh, interesting storytelling technique.
So then all the witches get together and possess this Wookiee Jedi, but when Trinity breaks that possession, all the witches die.
Why?
Because I need all the witches to die.
That works.
And also, May is mad that OSHA didn't want to become a space witch, so she starts a little fire and locks all the doors.
Sounds like an OSHA violation for sure. Yeah, and this place is made of stone, so the fire spreads quickly.
What? And then Soul finds himself in the situation where each sister is standing on a collapsing platform, and his force lift isn't strong enough for both platforms, so he just saves OSHA.
Why not force lift the girls instead of the platforms they're on?
Hey, shut up, and so that crazy night sets the stage for this whole story.
Wow, well that's gonna be a pretty intense show intro for sure.
Oh no, what I just described is a mystery spread out over multiple episodes.
Stretching things out is tight.
Paradoxically, yes. So then what happens? Well, because of that night, 16 years later, May is killing the Jedi involved with that, and she's working with this guy, Chimer.
Okay. And also, there seems to be a Sith lurking around, but we don't know who he is.
Is it Chimer?
I mean, who else would it be?
Yep, that's a good point. I'm still gonna drop it as a big reveal several episodes in, okay?
Sure, sounds good.
So this guy really wants May to kill a Jedi without using a weapon.
How come?
He thinks that would be a pretty cool little dark side challenge.
That does sound pretty cool.
Then one day he goes nuts and kills practically all the Jedi that OSHA was rolling with.
Oh my god.
And in all that chaos, OSHA and May switch places.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, and it looks like May is gonna stab Soul, but then she doesn't.
Why not?
Yeah, because she doesn't want it anymore, you know? Who's to say why characters do what they do?
You.
Can you imagine? That'd be nuts.
Well,
anyway, meanwhile, OSHA is hanging out with Chimer the Sith.
Hanging out?
Yeah, she follows him around. He takes his clothes off, shows her his Sarlacc pit.
Oh my god.
So now that he murdered all her friends and flashed her his space junk, she's kind of into what he has to say about the dark side.
Okay.
But then she puts on his cool helmet and gets a vision of where May is.
Oh, she does.
Yeah, because the season's almost over and I need them to reunite, so she just has a vision of where to go next.
Nice. So all the characters end up on that witchy planet where this whole thing started.
It's like poetry, it rhymes.
It's like poetry, it rhymes, that's right. So there's gonna be a big showdown between Chimer and Soul, and then also between May and OSHA.
Very exciting.
And then OSHA's gonna find out that Soul killed their mom, so she wants to kill him.
Well, it's gonna be tough for her to kill an experienced Jedi Master.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because now that she's angry, she can do dark side stuff, so she force chokes him to death.
So he doesn't explain that her mom had turned into a scary smoke
smoke monster?
No, because proper communication would get in the way of the story I'm trying to tell.
Right, okay, keep going. So there's no soul.
Nope.
And then also that guy died.
What?
So then what happens?
Well, then Osha agrees to train with Chimer and let him show her the dark side.
Oh, he flashes her again?
No, like the dark side of the Force.
Oh, okay.
And then he wipes May's memory, which is a thing he can do.
Why?
So she can't remember. But, and then a green lady blames everything on soul and we're done. So what do you think?
It's okay. I just feel like it's missing something.
It is, isn't it? What key ingredient we missing here?
Oh, I got it. You know what it is? We gotta do that thing. You know that thing where we sprinkle in glimpses of established characters and selectively recycle content we own as if that were a way to sustain long-term engagement?
Right, that's what it is. I'll toss a few cameos in at the end.
Great, that'll keep the brand alive.
So you have a Star Wars prequel script for me.
Yes, sir, I do. A surprise, to be sure, but a welcome one.
Okay, right off the bat, that sounded awesome, and I'm gonna steal it for the script.
Yeah, go for it.
Thanks.
So what happens in the movie?
Well, I'd like to gear this one towards kids a lot more, you know?
Makes sense, that'll help us sell toys.
Exactly, so what I did was focus heavily on politics.
Oh, kids love politics.
Oh yeah, my kids will not shut up about politics.
Same here, they're like, Dad, can we go read some books on trade regulation? And I'm like, shut up and play with your Nintendo 64, you nerds.
Well, your kids are gonna love this movie because a major part of it has to do with the taxation of trade routes to outlying star systems.
The taxation of trade routes to outlying star systems is tight.
Oh yeah, so anyway, the greedy Trade Federation blockades this planet Naboo in preparation for an invasion, right?
Okay.
So the Chancellor of the Republic is gonna send Obi-Wan Kenobi and his master Qui-Gon Jinn to negotiate with the Viceroy.
So Obi-Wan is an apprentice in this movie.
Well, in the opening text crawl, we're gonna call him a Jedi Knight, and at the end of the movie, we're gonna have a thing where he becomes a Jedi Knight.
Ah, the Jedi's so nice, they knighted him twice.
Exactly.
Hasn't he already said that Yoda is the one who trained him, though?
Yeah, whatever.
Fair enough. So is Obi-Wan, like, the main character in this thing?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
So who's the main character?
I don't know.
Probably not important to know that anyway.
Anyway, so this bad guy Darth Sidious orders the Viceroy to kill the Jedi.
Oh, how are they gonna do that?
They're gonna gas them for about 15 seconds and then send some battle droids to shoot at them.
Oh, I like the sound of battle droids. Is it hard to destroy them?
No, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're really bad at their job, and the Jedi cut through them like butter.
They don't sound very threatening.
They won't be.
So what happens next?
Well, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are gonna use Force Speed to run super fast and escape.
Oh, Force Speed? I bet that's gonna come in handy later in the movie.
They will never use it again.
Oh, they won't. Okay.
And then they're gonna see that there's a droid army preparing to invade Naboo, so they're gonna be like, we have to go warn them.
So what do?
They sneak onto the droid ships.
They're gonna try to warn the Naboo of an invading army by flying in with the invading army?
That's right.
Huh.
And then they're gonna end up on Naboo and meet this creature, Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, what's he like?
Oh, he's gonna be a fan favorite. He's like a giant lizard rabbit thing that says funny stuff.
What kind of funny stuff?
Like, oh, dis ain't gonna be messy, me no watching.
Okay.
And at another point, he's gonna be like, Yusa should follow me now, Okie Day.
I'm not sure I get it.
Well, trust me, people are gonna love Jar Jar.
If you say so.
He's also gonna be banished from his society.
Oh, being an outcast is actually pretty badass. What did he do?
He was too clumsy.
Oh, okay, never mind.
So anyway, he's gonna tag along with the Jedi for the rest of the movie.
How come?
Because.
That works.
And they're all gonna rescue Queen Amidala from a couple of droids and then escape through the blockade.
Is that gonna be hard to do?
No, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Wow.
So then they're gonna go to Tatooine and realize they need a new part for their ship.
Bummer.
And Jar Jar's gonna step in poo.
Are people gonna think that's funny?
Yeah, poop is hilarious.
Well, okay then.
So Qui-Gon is gonna try to buy the part he needs at one of the smaller shops he finds.
Do they have it?
Yeah, the flying bug salesman says he has the only one in town.
Is he telling the truth?
I don't know. Qui-Gon's gonna take his word for it and not check anywhere else.
So Qui-Gon's gonna buy it.
Well, all he has is some credits that the guy doesn't want to accept.
So he's gonna look around town to see if anyone's willing to exchange the credits for other currency.
No, he's gonna set up an elaborate bet involving a boy and some kind of space race thing called pod racing.
Okay, this sounds overly complicated.
It's so you can sell video games.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it.
And this boy is actually Anakin Skywalker, aka Darth Vader.
Oh, very interesting, like a teenage Darth Vader.
No, like a teeny tiny little boy Darth Vader.
Oh, people want to see Darth Vader as a little boy, right?
Maybe.
Exciting stuff.
And he and Queen Amidala are gonna have kind of a mother-son dynamic going on.
Oh, that's cute.
And in the next movies, they're gonna bang.
What?
Anyway, so Qui-Gon senses that Anakin is strong with the Force, so he wants to get his midichlorian count.
Midichlorians?
Oh yeah, they're microscopic life forms that allow
allow the host to detect the Force. So now we're saying that to use the Force, you need to have a bunch of microscopic life forms in your blood?
That's right, and we're also gonna imply that midichlorians are what fathered Anakin.
We're implying that tiny life forms somehow banged Darth Vader's mom. Something like that.
I guess that adds to his backstory.
So anyway, then they're gonna ditch Anakin's mom and go to Coruscant for a bunch of politics and meeting and talking and talking and talking and talking.
I hope that takes up a big chunk of the movie.
Oh yeah, a solid 30-40 minutes.
I love it.
And Qui-Gon is gonna explain to the Jedi Council that Anakin is special and needs to be trained, and they're gonna be like, nah.
How come?
They say he's too old and they sense fear in him and they all just feel really weird about it. So their plan is to just hope it all works out?
Pretty much.
Huh. Then the characters are gonna go back to Naboo.
So what do they do with Anakin? They can't just bring a child to a war zone.
They're gonna bring a child to a war zone.
Interesting choice.
Yeah.
And they have to pass the blockade again?
Nah, the blockade is gone now.
How come?
Because.
That works.
And then we're gonna have a grand finale with a whole lot of stuff going on.
Oh, what kind of stuff?
Well, this bad guy Darth Maul is gonna kill Qui-Gon.
Oh no.
And he's almost gonna kill Obi-Wan.
Oh, taking on two Jedis. I can't wait to see what this bad guy does in future movies.
Oh, he's gonna die.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's just gonna stand there while Obi-Wan does a bunch of acrobatics and cuts him in half.
Wow.
And then Anakin is gonna accidentally blow up the ship that's controlling all the droids.
Lucky kid.
Yeah, and he's gonna be like, now this is pod racing.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, cause he's like this. This is pod racing.
But it's not pod racing, right?
No, it's not.
So why does he say that?
Because he's all excited. So he's like, this is pod racing.
Okay, so how does the movie end?
Well, then the Jedi are gonna agree to let Obi-Wan train Anakin.
Why?
Because Qui-Gon wanted that.
Right, but didn't they feel weird about it?
Yeah, they still do.
So what's changed?
Anakin blew up the ship, I guess?
Wasn't that an accident?
It was.
Huh.
So what do you think of the movie?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If people don't like this movie, I doubt we'll ever see any Star Wars prequels ever again.
Probably a good move.
You have a new Star Wars movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Amazing. I'm really excited to get started on this one. CGI technology has come a long way.
Oh, it has?
Oh, it has. So I think we should use it in, you know, every scene, every single scene.
I don't know if that's necessary, sir. Most of the script is people standing around talking about politics.
Well, what better way to make those scenes more interesting than by having them be 95% computer generated?
I feel like there might be a better way.
We can also make most of the characters in CGI, too.
It just feels like as technology gets better through the years, this might not age well.
I don't think you understand how good this CGI is gonna look. It's gonna be photorealistic if the photo is a screenshot of a PS2 cutscene.
Oh, like a PlayStation 2 cutscene. That does sound fancy.
Yeah, it's never gonna get any better than that. We need to go all in right now.
You're probably right.
Oh, I am. So what happens in the movie?
Oh, well, at the beginning of the movie, Padme's decoy is gonna be killed in an assassination attempt.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's gonna be really sad. As she's dying, she's gonna be like, I'm sorry I failed you.
Failed her? Wasn't that literally her job?
Yeah, I guess she didn't really understand the job description, because she did great.
Wow.
So anyway, Obi-Wan and Anakin are assigned to protect Padme, just in case there's another attempt on her life.
And what's going on with Anakin?
Well, he's about 10 years older now, and boy, does he have his creepy pervert stare on lock.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, and he's like obsessed with Padme, so he's just gonna be throwing those in her direction the whole movie.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, at a certain point, it's gonna get so bad that Padme's gonna have to be like, please stop looking at me like that, and that's just gonna make it worse.
Huh.
So anyway, they have to keep Padme safe, right?
So they place her in a secure room or something?
No. They put her in a normal room with a big old window.
But they stay in there with her?
No, they had some cameras in there, but she shut them off because Anakin was making her uncomfortable, always watching her in a creepy way.
Oh, this guy's a predator.
Yeah, Darth Vader's a real horn dog.
Jeez.
So anyway, this flying thing shows up and plops a couple of murder worms into her room.
Murder worms? Why not explosives again?
Well, after they killed the decoy, the bad guys decided they needed to be a little more discreet.
Why? I don't know. Well, okay.
So Anakin and Obi-Wan save her and then chase down the assassin.
Very exciting.
Yeah, and it turns out the assassin was hired by another assassin bounty hunter guy, Jango Fett.
Wait, an assassin hired an assassin?
Yeah, the assassin hired an assassin to assassinate somebody and then followed the assassin to supervise the assassination and then assassinated the assassin when the assassination went wrong.
Okay, I'm pretty sure that doesn't make sense, but you said the word assassin so much that I'm all thrown off and I'm just gonna go with it.
Great.
So what else happens?
Well, Padme needs to be protected some more because there's all kinds of incompetent assassins after her.
Right.
So the Jedi decide that Anakin should be the one to go with her to her romantic home planet and take care of her.
Oh, were there not any other Jedi?
Oh, there are a ton of other Jedi, but they're gonna send this irresponsible pervy one with incomplete training.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, besides, all the important Jedi need to sit around and talk about their feelings, so they can't go.
Right, they freaking love talking about their feelings.
So Anakin and Padme head over to Naboo, and he's just trying super hard to get into her space pants.
And she's not into it?
Not at all, until he finally strikes a chord with a little speech about how much he, you know, frickin' hates sand.
Oh, and that's what does it for her?
Yeah, and he also calls her soft and touches her exposed skin without permission.
Oh, dissing sand and rubbing skin is tight.
Oh yeah, it's irresistible. So she kisses him, but then she's like, oh no, I can't.
Because she met him when he was a child and this whole thing is super weird.
No, she's over that now. Now it's because she's a senator and he's a Jedi.
Is that not allowed?
Nope.
It's not.
Why not?
Because.
Well, okay then.
Anyway, then Anakin's gonna have a dream that his mom's in trouble, so they head over to Tatooine.
Okay.
And when he finds her, she's like, now I'm complete, and she dies.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so then Anakin just massacres the Tusken Raiders that kidnapped her and then heads back to Padme.
Jeez, does he tell her what he did?
Yeah, he's like, I didn't just kill the men, I killed everyone, the women, the children.
Well, it's gonna be hard to make her fall in love with him after something monstrous like that.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it seems like that makes her like him even more, because a couple of scenes later, she's like, I truly, deeply love you.
That is how women talk.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, because I've never spoken to a real one, so I just took a wild guess.
So is there anything else going on in this movie besides the love story?
That will be most of it, to be honest.
Oh, people will be into that, right?
Fingers crossed. But we're also gonna have Obi-Wan wandering around investigating stuff.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, he's gonna find this place where some aliens are building a big clone army.
Why are they doing that?
Because like 10 years ago, a Jedi named Sifo Dyas told them to and then died.
Oh, tell me more about this Sifo Dyas.
No.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so eventually Obi-Wan gets held captive on Geonosis by a bad guy named Count Dooku.
Okay.
And so Padme and Anakin try to rescue him, but they get captured too.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they all get put in this big arena so they can be killed by monsters.
Wouldn't it be better for the bad guys to just kill them immediately instead of placing them in a situation where they can escape?
Probably, but then the movie would be over, so they're gonna go with this stupid, dumb idea.
Gotcha.
So then this big kitty cat monster is gonna swipe at Padme.
Oh, what happens to her?
Well, her tight shirt turns into a tight crop top.
Oh, thank you, kitty cat.
And then a bunch of Jedi show up, and a bunch of clones show up, and they fight a bunch of droids.
Wow, wow, wow.
So Count Dooku tries to escape on this speeder bike thing.
Oh, a bike speeder thing, huh? Is that gonna look cool?
No, it's gonna look like somebody in a Walmart parking lot that hit the gas too hard on their scooter.
Oh, okay.
So then the main characters chase him, but Padme falls off the ship.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so she's like, man, I gotta get to the hangar to go help them.
How does she know they're going to a hangar?
Unclear.
Huh.
So then Anakin and Obi-Wan get to the hangar and fight Dooku a little bit.
Very fun.
And then Yoda shows up and has a big old lightsaber fight with them.
Doesn't Yoda need a cane to walk?
He does, but when he's fighting, he's fully able.
That doesn't make much sense.
Well, do you want to see Yoda bouncing around like a pinball with a lightsaber or not?
Not really.
Well, it's gonna happen, so definitely get off my back about it.
Okay, I'll do that.
Great.
Hey, how come Yoda and the Jedi couldn't detect all this dark side stuff happening this whole time?
Well, the dark side of the Force was being clouded, so they couldn't see it.
What was clouding it?
The dark side of the Force. Anyway, then Padme and Anakin get married.
Wow, so she was really into that murdering women and children thing he did.
Sure looks that way.
Anything else I should know about?
Well, we're gonna introduce a little baby Boba Fett in this movie.
Why would we introduce a young Boba Fett?
Well, if we give characters more backstory, one day they can have their own spin-off movies.
Oh, that's very smart.
Yeah, I'm sure people would eat those spin-offs up.
I'm sure they would, unless one of them tanks early on and ruins everything.
Can you imagine?
So, you have a new Star Wars script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's gonna be called Episode 3, Revenge of the...
Yeah, actually, I got your email about the title, and you realize we can't do that, right?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, you can't use that kind of language in a movie title, and it also just feels like immature potty humor.
Oh, no, it's Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, okay, I must have misread it. I was like, is this gonna be about a toilet that backs up?
No, it's about Star Wars stuff.
Well, I'm relieved. So what happens in the movie?
Oh, well, we're gonna start with a bunch of space stuff happening, like a whole lot of it. It's not really gonna be clear who's who, but it's gonna be like, yeah, something's happening for sure.
Very exciting.
Yeah, and Palpatine's been kidnapped by Count Dooku, so Obi-Wan and Anakin have to save him.
Okay.
So they go fight Count Dooku, and Palpatine convinces Anakin to cut Dooku's head off.
Yikes, must have been tough to convince him to do something like that.
Actually, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just makes a very compelling argument, and that convinces him.
Well, what does he say to him?
He says, do it.
Oh, very convincing.
Yeah.
So what else happens in the movie?
Oh, well, Padme is pregnant now, and her and Anakin are just super in love.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, so we're gonna have some amazing romantic dialogue going on between them.
Like what?
Well, for example, he's gonna be like, you're so beautiful, and she's gonna be like, it's only because I'm so in love, and he's gonna be like, no, it's because I'm so in love with you.
Oh, very romantic and realistic, because people talk like that.
Yeah, I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but You know, Shakespeare can suck it. I'm the greatest writer now.
Oh, dethroning Shakespeare is tight.
It is. So anyway, Anakin has a nightmare that Padme dies, and he's like, oh, I don't like that at all.
Okay.
So then the whole movie, Palpatine's gonna be like, Anakin, you know, if you join the dark side, you can stop people from dying.
That is a pretty good sales pitch, and what else is going on?
Oh, well, Yoda's gonna go fight alongside some Wookiees against a droid army.
Oh, why is he doing that?
So we can have some Wookiees in the movie.
Oh, people like Wookiees.
Yeah, we'll have Yoda fight alongside Chewbacca.
Doesn't that create some problems for the original trilogy? Like, Han Solo doesn't believe in the Jedi, but we're saying that his partner fought alongside one?
Well, yeah, but if we don't include this Chewbacca scene, we're not gonna get to see Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah, that is a good point. Okay, keep it in.
We're also gonna have Obi-Wan go fight this bad guy, General Grievous.
And what's his deal?
Well, he was trained in the Jedi arts by Count Dooku.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, and apparently he was also trained in the helicopter arts by a helicopter.
Oh, very cool.
Anyway, so much later in the movie, Anakin's gonna finally figure out that Palpatine is a Sith Lord.
Wow, took him a while. That's the most obviously evil character I've ever seen.
Yeah, and so he tells Mace Windu, who goes to confront Palpatine.
And how does that go?
Oh, not well. Palpatine shoots some lightning at Mace Windu, and he deflects it back and starts to kill him.
Oh.
And Anakin's standing there like, oh boy, I don't want either of these people to die.
So Anakin tells Palpatine to stop shooting the lightning so Mace Windu can stop deflecting it at him?
Nope, he cuts off Mace Windu's arm and Palpatine sends him flying out the window.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Anakin was conflicted about it, but as soon as he did it, he's like, well, I guess I'm evil now.
Wow, ready to go.
And so Palpatine is like, hey, I need you to go murder some kids real quick, and Anakin's like, yep, I'm on it.
Oh wow, that's a huge escalation. Wasn't he conflicted like 2 seconds ago?
Yeah, but he decided to be evil now, so he's fine with killing kids.
Jeez.
Yeah, and then Palpatine calls for Order 66, which makes all the clones kill all the Jedi.
Oh no.
Except our favorites.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, and we're also gonna find out why Anakin is called Darth Vader.
Oh, and why is that?
Because Palpatine was like, this is gonna be your name now.
Oh, right, okay.
Anyway, so then Obi-Wan watches some security footage of Anakin killing children and pledging himself to Palpatine, so he's like, oh, this guy's up to no good.
He's not wrong.
And so he goes to tell Padme, and she's like, there's no way Anakin would do something like that. I don't believe you.
Didn't Anakin tell her in the last movie that he killed a bunch of Tusken Raider children?
Yeah, he did tell her that, but I guess she forgot, because she's real dumb now.
Oh, okay.
So then Obi-Wan has to go kill Anakin, and they have this big lava fight. Like, it goes on for a while.
Wow, 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 wow.
And Obi-Wan's gonna be like, Anakin, Chancellor Palpatine is evil, and Anakin's gonna be like, from my point of view, the Jedi are evil.
Oh, okay, that's just some placeholder text, right? You're gonna put in some less ridiculous dialogue?
It was placeholder dialogue, but I forgot the login information for my laptop, so we're kinda stuck with it now.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
So then they keep fighting, but at a certain point, Obi-Wan goes up a hill a little bit.
Okay.
And so he's like, well, it's over, Anakin, I have the high ground.
What is he talking about?
Well, Obi-Wan's a little higher up than Anakin, so that's basically checkmate, you know? You can't win if you don't have the high ground.
What about in Phantom Menace? When Darth Maul had the high ground and Obi-Wan killed him.
Oh, well, that doesn't count, though.
Why not?
Because I forgot about that.
Oh, fair enough.
So then Obi-Wan chops off Anakin's limbs and leaves him to burn to death.
Oh my god.
And then Padme dies after giving birth to Luke and Leia.
Wait, 9 months have passed?
Apparently, yes, they have.
Wow, so what happens to her? Were there complications during childbirth?
No, no, no. She just doesn't feel like living anymore.
What are you talking about?
She was so sad that she died. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, maybe we should go with the complications thing.
Okay, we'll go with complications.
Okay, great.
In the sense that she just got out of a complicated relationship and died from sadness.
Never mind.
So then Bail Organa takes baby Leia, and Luke gets sent to Tatooine to Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Why do they bring him there?
So that Anakin can't find him.
So they bring him to his actual family and let him keep the Skywalker name? I feel like he'd be easy to track down.
Yeah, well, I kind of have no choice but to shove everybody into their starting positions for A New Hope, so it doesn't really matter if it doesn't make sense.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, like Yoda pieces out to Dagobah because he's embarrassed.
Oh.
And then Palpatine's gonna hook Anakin up with the Darth Vader costume and tell him that Padme's dead.
Oh, and what does Anakin say?
He says, no!
That seems about right.
And so, yeah, that's about it. That's the story of Anakin and Palpatine and stuff.
Wow, yeah, we spent a lot of time with them. It's gonna be nice in the future to make more of these movies and kinda steer away to other villains.
Oh, for sure. It'll be nice to switch it up a bit.
So, you have some Star Wars milk for me?
What, like the blue milk?
No, like another way to milk the franchise we bought for billions of dollars.
Oh, right. Yes, sir, I do.
Amazing. So what did you have in mind?
I was thinking we'd do an Obi-Wan Kenobi show for Disney Plus.
Oh, that's a very recognizable name.
It sure is, sir. So this would take place 10 years after Revenge of the Sith, and Obi-Wan is living on Tatooine and looking at a little boy through some binoculars.
Watching people through binoculars is tight.
Generally not, no, sir, but this is a
10-year-old Luke Skywalker.
He's from the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Amongst other things, yeah. So Obi-Wan is keeping an eye on him, you know, in case anything happens.
Oh, right.
And you know, in the past 10 years, Obi-Wan hasn't been doing any training or force stuff, so he's pretty weak now.
So how is he intending to protect Luke if anything happened?
Oh, unclear. But so then on Alderaan, a 10-year-old Princess Leia gets kidnapped.
Oh, she's from Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Yeah, other things too, though. And she almost gets away because these bad guys are like clumsily whacking their faces on tree branches and stuff, falling over.
Oh, wait, is this a cartoon?
Occasionally it is, sir, yeah.
Well, okay then.
So then her adoptive father, Bail Organa, goes to see Obi-Wan. Like, what's up, dude? You gotta save her.
Isn't he a pretty powerful dude? Wouldn't he have a bunch of aides and guards and security people and stuff?
Yeah, but Obi-Wan's the protagonist, so he asks for his help.
Right.
And it turns out this Inquisitor Reva planned the whole thing because she wants to get Obi-Wan.
What do you mean?
Well, see, she found a connection between the two of them in the archives, so she's like, oh, if I take Bail Organa's daughter, he's definitely gonna go to this guy he hasn't spoken to in like a decade for help.
Oh, a very big leap. And why does she want Obi-Wan?
Because she wants to impress Anakin Skywalker.
He's from The Mandalorian.
Nope. Oh, I got that one wrong.
Yeah, no, he's from practically everything else, and he's Darth Vader now, and if she brings him Obi-Wan, he might make her Grand Inquisitor.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Wow.
So Reva actually ends up stabbing the current Grand Inquisitor because he wanted to take credit for capturing Obi-Wan, who then escapes with Leia.
Reva has force powers?
She does, and we're gonna find out later that she was actually a Jedi youngling who survived Order 66 when Anakin tried to kill her.
And so she works for him now?
Yeah, she became a ruthless hunter who kills Jedis because she wants to get back at the guy who killed Jedis.
I guess that makes sense.
And eventually Obi-Wan and Leia get stopped by these stormtroopers who have this face scanner thing, and after it scans his face, he shoots them all.
If he was gonna shoot all of them, why wait until his face was scanned into their system?
I don't know.
And so now he's gotta escape, but there's a frickin' laser fence.
Those are hard to get around.
They are, except for this one, which is very easy to walk around.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah, so they panic for a second trying to get through, but then Obi-Wan realizes he can shoot the control panel and get through.
Why didn't he just walk around?
Well, this is much more exciting, sir.
I guess so.
Anyway, then they're immediately about to be captured again, but this lady, Tala, saves them.
Oh, she does.
Yeah, she works for the Empire, but doesn't like it, so she decides to help them escape through this secret tunnel she has going.
Okay.
But then frickin' Darth Vader shows up, so Obi-Wan decides to stall for time so Leia and Tala can escape.
But Obi-Wan doesn't really have force powers anymore.
Exactly, so Darth Vader just kicks his butt and starts a fire and drags him through it.
Oh no, it's gonna be hard to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, once Darth Vader puts the fire out, Tala's gonna show up and help Obi-Wan escape by starting a fire.
How does that help?
Well, Darth Vader can't get to Obi-Wan through fire, sir.
But he was literally just doing that.
Yeah, so then Obi-Wan escapes.
All right.
And so since Leia is on her own, she actually gets kidnapped by Reva, who somehow teleported to the end of this tunnel.
She gets kidnapped again. We're doing that again.
Yeah, second time in 3 episodes. Turns out she's very bad at not getting kidnapped.
Sure seems that way. So how does she get unkidnapped this time?
Well, Obi-Wan Kenobi sneaks her out in this big old trench coat he's wearing, and she's hiding underneath it.
Just a guy in a massive jacket with 4 legs, 2 of which are tiny, and that works?
Yes.
Oh, is this a cartoon again?
It's a cartoon again. I told you that would happen from time to time.
Right, you did tell me that.
So Darth Vader's angry at Reva for letting them escape, but she's like, sir, whoa, I put a tracker on Leia's toy, so that's pretty cool, right?
On the Princess of Alderaan's toy?
That's right.
Seems like they'll probably end up on Alderaan.
Yeah, that's definitely the final destination, but now they'll be able to track that.
Interesting plan.
So eventually, she manages to get all the good guys trapped behind these big blast doors, and she's having a bunch of stormtroopers try to blast them open.
Uh-oh.
But then Obi-Wan stalls a little by saying he wants to talk to her, and he figures out the thing about her surviving Order 66, and then she opens the door with a lightsaber.
Seems like she should have led with that.
Maybe. And so then they decide to team up to try to take Vader down.
How do they do that?
Well, she just goes ahead and tries to stab him.
After 10 years of planning, she just goes in for a stab?
Yes.
Does it work?
No, obviously no, that doesn't work.
Right, that makes sense, yeah.
So she gets stabbed with a lightsaber.
So she dies?
Now, having a big hole burned into your intestines isn't fatal. In fact, that Grand Inquisitor guy, he's alive too. He was too angry to die.
Oh.
Okay.
So then there's going to be a big fight between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
But Obi-Wan still doesn't have Force powers.
Oh, well, those come back.
Oh, they do. What happens?
He thinks about stuff and they come back.
Well, great.
So Vader gets the high ground and buries Obi-Wan under some rocks and then walks away and leaves him for dead.
Okay, does nobody take a second to verify that the person they've tried to kill is actually dead?
Not in this particular show, no.
Oh, okay.
And then Obi-Wan escapes and slices Vader's helmet open and they have a little chat.
About what?
Well, Vader's like, hey, I'm the one who killed Anakin Skywalker, okay? And he's kind of crazy happy about it.
Wow.
So then Obi-Wan is like, wow, well, okay, then I guess my friend truly is dead, and he walks away.
Wait, why doesn't he kill him if he truly thinks his friend is dead and this is a crazy murderous monster guy?
Well, Vader's gotta be in several movies after this, so it's kinda like,
oh, it's a contract issue.
He's gotta be in those movies.
Right.
And meanwhile, Reva has figured out who Luke Skywalker is.
How does she figure that out?
Well, turns out Bail Organa sent Obi-Wan a message being like, hey, I know we said no communications, but here's a detailed communication because I think maybe something happened to you.
Why send that if you think something happened?
Unclear. So then Reva goes to kill Luke and he passes out.
Why?
So that he doesn't see a lightsaber and mess up the cannon.
That makes sense. Good call.
But then Reva can't bring herself to kill this child, so that's a nice little redemption arc.
She's killed a bunch of Jedi for like a decade though, right?
Yeah, but not the one that's the most important to the IP.
That does sound like a good guy move to me.
And then Obi-Wan gets to meet Luke and he says, hello there.
Oh, that's the thing the internet likes.
It sure is, sir. So what do you think?
Well, I think it sounds great, but I do think we should maybe slow things down after this. You know, I don't want people to get Star Wars fatigue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just think that's the best move creatively.
No, I'm just kidding. We're gonna keep churning these out till they stop making money.
You got me, sir.
So you have a Star Wars script for me.
Yes, sir, I do. And this one's all about a young Han Solo.
Sounds kind of unnecessary.
Well, look at it this way. Aren't all movies unnecessary?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I'm sold.
Great.
So what happens in the movie?
Well, Han lives on this planet, Corellia, and he's basically a slave for a giant evil worm crime boss, Lady Proxima.
Oh, wow, she sounds interesting.
Yeah, super interesting. So she's barely gonna be in it.
Oh.
Yeah, Han's gonna expose her to sunlight, and she's gonna burn and go back into the sewers.
But how does a giant worm that can't be exposed to sunlight run a crime syndicate from the sewers? I have so many questions.
Well, that's too bad, because we're moving on.
All right, then.
So anyway, Han's gonna try to escape with his girlfriend, Kira, but they're gonna get separated.
Bummer.
Yeah, and he's gonna join the Imperial Army so he can become a pilot and go back and save her.
Well, that's nice of him.
Mm-hmm, and so that's how he's gonna get his name.
What?
The guy who signs him up into the army is like, do you have a people? And Han's like, no. So the guy's like, okay, let's just say your last name is Solo, because you're alone.
So Han Solo wasn't his real name?
Nope, and now everybody's gonna know how he got it.
I just assumed that was his name, so I don't feel any different now that I know.
Yeah, well, it's an origin story, so I kind of made my way through the stuff we kind of know about him and provided specific explanations for all of them.
Once again, that seems unnecessary.
You're unnecessary.
That makes me feel inferior, and now I feel like I need your approval, so keep going.
Great. So we're also gonna provide some backstory on Han's golden dice.
Han has dice?
Yeah, you could kind of see them in the original trilogy, and they show up in The Last Jedi.
Oh, well, I guess I didn't realize they were that important.
They weren't really, but we're gonna provide some backstory for them that's gonna blow people's minds.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so they're like a good luck charm or something.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what they are.
Once again, I don't feel any different now that I know that.
We're also gonna explain how Han got his blaster.
Oh, how did that happen?
Someone gave it to him.
Right, that makes sense.
And we're also gonna explain why he calls Chewbacca Chewie.
Oh, why is that?
Because he thinks Chewbacca is too long to say.
I feel like we had all figured that out on our own already.
Well, we're gonna spell it out.
Well, okay then.
So anyway, then Han's gonna be in the Imperial Army for 3 years.
Wow, Han Solo in the Imperial Army? That's gonna be super interesting to see.
Sounds pretty nuts, right?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, we're gonna skip right past that.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, we're just gonna jump to the very tail end of it.
All right, if you say so.
I do. So then Han's gonna meet this guy Beckett who has a crew and they're gonna fly away from the war zone.
Okay.
But before that, Han's gonna get thrown into a jail pit thing and that's where he's gonna meet Chewbacca.
Oh, Chewie, what's he doing there?
Oh, he's being kept as a prisoner there and also he kills and eats people.
What?
Yeah, so he's gonna try to do that to Han.
Wow, it's gonna be hard for Han to get out of that situation.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it turns out Han can speak Chewbacca's language, so they become friends and escape together.
How does Han Han speak Chewbacca's language?
Because I wrote that in the script.
But when did he learn that?
When I wrote it in the script.
Fair enough.
So anyway, Han and Chewie are gonna go on a heist with Beckett and his crew to steal some hyperfuel coaxium stuff.
Okay.
But it's gonna go wrong and some of Beckett's crew are gonna die, like his girlfriend's gonna blow herself up.
Wow, he must be devastated.
Well, he's barely gonna be affected by it.
Oh, okay then.
So then Beckett's gonna explain that they were actually stealing the stuff for this guy Dryden Voss, and he's gonna be mad.
Okay.
So they're gonna go see him at this gangster place, and Han's gonna run into Kira.
His girlfriend Kira that he's doing all of this for?
That's the one.
So his whole motivation was to get a ship and fly back to her, but now she's there?
Now she's there.
Feels like it just messed up the emotional drive of the movie.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
So as it turns out, she works for Voss now.
Oh, so earlier when you jumped forward 3 years, that was just so she could have time to join Voss's crew?
You got me.
I thought that was a weird time jump. Like, how was Han not able to get his hands on a ship for 3 years?
Yeah, I just needed 3 years to pass for the story to work.
Yeah, I see that now.
So Voss is gonna wanna kill Han and Beckett and Chewie, but they're gonna be like, wait, we can steal a bunch of unrefined coaxium for you.
Okay.
But Voss is gonna be like, first of all, that stuff explodes if you don't refine it fast enough, and second, I don't want this traced back to me in any way.
Right.
So they're like, well, we're not attached to you in any way, so it can't be traced back to you.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, so that sells him on it, and then he's like, take my second in command Kira with you.
What?
Yeah, he wants her to keep an eye on things.
But you just said the whole thing is that he doesn't want it traced back to him.
That's right.
Feels like sending his second in command is pretty traceable.
Well, I want her to be there, though.
Right, but you just said that—
I know, but I want her to be there, though.
Well, okay, if that's what you want.
It is. So then they're gonna go see Lando Calrissian, cause they need his ship.
Uh-huh.
And he has this droid companion, L3, who has a wacky personality.
Okay, good. I was getting worried there wasn't gonna be a wacky droid in this movie.
Yeah, and she's all about equal rights and freedom for droids.
Very wacky.
Yeah, and later she's gonna die, and they're gonna kinda implant her consciousness into the Millennium Falcon.
Oh my god, that's awful.
No, it's gonna be kind of a sweet moment.
The droid that was all about freedom gets her consciousness trapped in a ship for eternity?
Right, isn't that sweet?
It sounds absolutely horrifying from her perspective, like the last thing she would've wanted.
Right, but we're gonna play it like it's a sweet thing.
They made her into a prisoner, it's like something out of Black Mirror.
Yeah, it's gonna be a nice moment. So anyway, they're all gonna go on another heist together.
Very exciting.
And the coaxium's about to explode, so they have to take a shortcut on the Kessel Run.
Oh, we're gonna show the Kessel Run that Han was talking about in A New Hope.
Yeah, instead of leaving it to the imagination, we're gonna show people exactly what happened and kinda take the mystery out of it.
So how did it go down?
Well, they run into a giant tentacle monster thing.
Giant testicle monsters are tight.
No, I said tentacle.
Oh.
And there's gonna be a black hole thing, and they're gonna have to escape the black hole thing and the monster. It's gonna be nuts.
The monster lives next to a black hole?
Yeah, I guess it does.
I guess my questions are, why does it live there, and what does it eat if nobody passes through there?
Those are good questions.
Thank you.
So anyway, the characters are gonna—
Oh, you're not gonna answer the questions.
No, I'm not. So anyway, the characters are gonna go bring the coaxium to Voss.
Okay.
But then everyone's gonna betray each other, and Beckett's gonna shoot Voss's guards and run away with the coaxium.
Why wouldn't he shoot Voss too?
Because I want Voss to stay alive for a final fight.
Right, but it doesn't make sense for Beckett to shoot the guards and not him.
Yeah, but I want Voss to stay alive for a final fight.
Well, okay then.
So then there's a final fight and Voss dies.
Right.
And then we're gonna find out that Kira is evil because she has a Skype call with Darth Maul.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he goes by Maul now.
I'm confused. So this takes place before Phantom Menace?
No, no, he didn't actually die in Phantom Menace.
Are fans gonna get that?
Real fans will. We covered it in some animated stuff.
But what about everyone else?
Eh, they'll figure it out. He has robot legs that you could kind of make out.
Alright, well, cameos are fun, I guess.
And then Maul's gonna ignite his dual lightsaber.
Why would he do that?
Well, the audience really liked that about him, so we're gonna show it.
Right, but he's like Skyping with Kira, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he just lights up his lightsaber to show her?
I guess.
Huh. So what do you think?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a risk to make a movie about such a well-loved character.
Well, if we're not taking risks, we're not doing anything worthwhile.
Well, I gotta agree with you on that one.
So you have a Star Wars script for me.
Yes, sir, I do. And this one's gonna be called Rogue One.
Oh, Rouge One, I like it.
No, Rogue One.
Right, Rouge One.
R-O-G-U-E, Rogue.
Exactly, R-O-U-G-E.
But that's different from what I said.
Yeah, whatever, let's hope this doesn't become a problem in comment sections online.
Yeah, hope so.
So what's this movie about?
Well, you know how in the opening text crawl of A New Hope, there's mention of some rebels that managed to steal some plans for the Death Star?
Yeah.
So what I'd like to do is, you know, that, as a movie.
You want to make a movie about a line from a text crawl?
Yeah, everyone's been wondering, how did the rebels get their hands on the plans?
Have they, though?
Maybe.
Well, alright, so how does it all go down?
Well, we're gonna start with this evil dude, Krennic, who wants to force this guy, Galen Erso, to come work on the Death Star. So Galen's gotta hide his wife, Lyra, and his daughter, Jyn.
Oh, so they have to rush into hiding?
Yeah, they could kinda take their time with it. Krennic lands, like, stupid far away.
How come?
So that the good guys can shout exposition at each other.
Fair enough. Well, at least Jyn's mom is gonna gonna be with her.
No, she's gonna die.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, instead of taking care of her daughter, she's gonna go back and try to shoot a bunch of guys with a little pistol.
Why would she do that?
Because she's a mom in a Star Wars movie, so she can't be alive for long.
Right, that makes sense.
So then we're gonna jump forward in time and meet this dude Cassian, who shoots his friend in the back.
Oh, he's a bad guy.
No, he's one of the main rebel good guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we're also gonna meet a rebel extremist named Saw Gerrera, who's visited by an Imperial pilot that defected.
Why does he defect?
Because Galen Erso sent him with a message about the Death Star.
Oh, so Saw is gonna help him?
No, Saw doesn't believe him, so he uses this thing called the Borgullet on him.
Borgullet?
Yeah, it's like this tentacle monster that can tell if you're lying or something, but the side effect is that you lose your mind.
Oh, so it's gonna be hard for the pilot to be of any help for the rest of the movie.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
He doesn't lose his mind?
Yeah, someone's gonna remind him that he's a pilot in the next scene and we're never gonna talk about it again.
Seems like a weird thing to include if it's not gonna have any effect on anything.
Yeah, super weird.
Huh.
So anyway, Jin was raised by Saw, so the rebels sent her and Cassian to go talk to him.
How does that go?
Well, on the way they make friends with these two guys, Chirrut and Baze.
What's their role in the movie?
They bicker about the Force and they're gonna flip a switch later.
Oh, flipping switches is tight.
Mm-hmm, and so then Jin's gonna see a message from her dad. And he says he built a fault into the Death Star that if you shoot it, the whole thing blows up.
Oh wow, you're closing up that plot hole from A New Hope.
Yeah, that plot hole always kinda bugged me, so I, you know, wrote an entire movie to fix it.
You're a little crazy, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am.
So what happens next?
Well, everyone's gonna say the word hope so much it hurts your ears.
No, that's fun. Hope, 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 hope.
And then Grand Moff Tarkin's gonna be like...
Wait, Grand Moff Tarkin is in the character played by Peter Cushing?
That's the one.
You know, he passed away in 1994, right?
Yeah, but you can, like, CGI him back to life or something, right?
I guess. Is that a little unethical, though?
That's probably fine.
That's probably fine.
So anyway, the bad guys are gonna fire the Death Star at the planet Jedha where all the characters are.
Oh, so all the characters are gonna die?
No, they're using like a less intense setting on the weapon, so everyone has time to talk and fly away.
Oh, well that's nice of them.
Yeah, it is.
So everyone flies away?
Everyone except Saw, he stays behind.
Why would he stay behind?
He says he's tired of running.
Seriously?
That's what we're going with.
Seems like a weird, unnatural thing to do.
Yeah, well I had to kill him off because he kind of served his purpose and having him around would cause problems.
Oh, plot convenience, I get it.
Right, because later I want the rebels to not believe Jin when she tells them about the message.
Doesn't she bring it with her?
No, she forgot it because plot convenience.
Gotcha.
So anyway, they're gonna track down Jin's dad and he's gonna repeat that her nickname is Stardust because that's gonna be important later.
Okay.
And then he's gonna die in an explosion.
Wait, another character is gonna die in an explosion?
Literally every character except a wisecracking robot's gonna die in an explosion.
You didn't feel like mixing that up a bit?
I did not.
Fair enough.
Also, they're all gonna explode immediately after serving their one purpose in the movie, usually flipping a switch or something.
That's pretty harsh.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's no longer useful to me, why would I keep them alive, right?
You're talking about script writing, right? Not real life.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Security. Security. Security.
Anyway, then we're gonna have a scene where Krennic goes to see Darth Vader when he's taking a bath and then gets choked by him.
Oh, so that's like a sex scene?
Oh, God, no. It's like a badass thing.
Oh, okay, because the way you described it...
Yeah, no, my bad.
That's okay.
And then later, Jin's gonna give a big motivational speech to the rebels about getting the plans, and they're gonna be like, nah.
Oh, bummer.
But then her and some people are gonna take off in a ship anyway.
Oh, very rebellious rebels.
Yeah, and they're gonna be asked what the name of their ship is, and the pilot's gonna be like, Rogue One.
Hey, Rouge One, that's the name of the movie.
That's right, that's kinda right.
I love when that happens.
It is fun. So then they're gonna go to this planet called Scarif.
What happens there?
Well, the main characters are gonna have to turn some important knobs and flip some important switches.
Very exciting.
And then die in explosions.
You're really doing that explosion thing, huh?
I am.
Well, alright then.
And then the rebels are gonna find out that some people went rogue, so they're gonna send a bunch of ships to help out.
Weren't they against it?
Yeah, but now that it's actually happening, they're gonna do a convenient 180 on the subject.
That's convenient.
And then Jin's gonna send the plans off into space with a big satellite.
And then I'm guessing she dies in an explosion?
Yeah, super big explosion.
Wow.
And then Darth Vader's gonna have such a badass scene, it's gonna make him seem like a pansy in the original trilogy.
Oh, really?
And then Leia's gonna get the plans and say the word hope one last time.
Like a young Princess Leia?
Yeah, you can make her young with CGI, right?
Please stop making me do that.
Alright, so anyway, what do you think?
Well, I think fans will love it, you know? I think it's gonna do great.
Awesome.
Although, to be fair, we can slap the name Star Wars on anything, and it's guaranteed to be a hit.
That is true.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's gonna be called Star Wars, and it's set in space.
Oh, that is where stars are. This is off to a great start.
Yeah, so the ship that's a part of a rebellion is gonna be boarded by some evil soldier dudes called Stormtroopers and the big bad guy, Darth Vader.
Darth Vader, huh? What's his deal?
Well, he's super strong with this thing called the Force. It's like this thing he can choke people with.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's like a rope?
No, it's like an energy type thing. He can sense things with his mind. He can move things with his mind.
Okay, okay, so he's like a space wizard.
Yeah, kind of like a space wizard with very bad asthma.
I guess that's intimidating.
Yeah, and so he and the stormtroopers capture a bunch of rebels and this Princess Leia.
Oh, Princess Leia, huh? Tell me about her.
Oh, she's badass and beautiful as can be, you know? Skin like porcelain, hair like a continental breakfast.
What?
And in a later movie, we're actually gonna find out that she's Darth Vader's daughter.
And with all his super powerful force abilities, he's not able to tell that his daughter standing in front of him?
Apparently not.
Well, okay then.
Anyway, before she was captured, Leia managed to put some plans to this big Death Star space station into a droid, R2-D2.
Okay.
And so R2-D2 and this other whiny droid, C-3PO, take off in an escape pod.
Oh, so do the stormtroopers shoot the pod down?
No, they're like, oh, there weren't any life signals on that thing, so it must have just malfunctioned.
Do they not know that droids are a thing?
They do, they just have to be extremely dumb in this moment.
How come?
So the movie can happen.
Oh, okay.
So then these droids land on this planet Tatooine.
What's going on that planet?
Well, there's a whole lot of desert, and I'm hoping that in about 30 years or so, when computers start getting good, we can add in a bunch of random aliens walking around.
What? Why?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so the droids end up getting picked up and sold.
Who do they get sold to?
The uncle of Luke Skywalker, who's the main character.
Oh, the hero of the story.
Yeah, and his uncle tells him to clean up the droids, and he's like, but I was gonna go into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Oh, whiny heroes are tight. I like this guy already.
Yeah, and so he ends up seeing this hologram message that Princess Leia left on R2-D2, and he's like, that's a very attractive hologram.
Kind of a weird reaction to a cry for help.
A little bit, yeah. Anyway, in the recording, she's like, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope.
Okay.
And so Luke is like, I wonder if she means old Ben Kenobi, who lives around here.
If that is what she means, this guy's horrible at picking fake names.
Yeah, not super creative. So anyway, then Luke is gonna get attacked by some sand people, and Obi-Wan is gonna save him because he's a Jedi Knight, which means he's super good with the Force.
Oh, that worked out.
It did, but then we find out that the place where the droids were sold got all shot up, and Obi-Wan is like, oh, only Imperial Stormtroopers are so precise.
Oh, pretty scary.
Yeah, and then Luke finds his aunt and uncle murdered.
Oh my god, he must be devastated.
No, he's alright.
Oh, okay.
So he goes to Obi-Wan like, I want you to train me as a Jedi because I don't have anything anymore.
Wow, yeah, got over those deaths real fast.
Yeah, so then they go to this cantina where there's all these weird types because they need to find a pilot.
What kind of weird types are we talking?
We're talking a guy with chin balls, a werewolf, you know, Satan.
Oh, that does sound like a bizarre mix.
And then they're gonna meet with this guy, Han Solo.
And what's his deal?
Well, he's really cool and he doesn't believe in the Jedi and he has this giant bear dog best friend named Chewbacca.
Chewbacca?
Yeah, he actually fought alongside a Jedi master named Yoda and he always goes...
So Han Solo doesn't believe in the Jedi even though his best friend and partner fought alongside one?
That's right, but we're only gonna find out about that Yoda thing like 30 years from now.
Okay, you're gonna have to stop mentioning things that'll happen 30 years from now. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I'll try.
So what else happens?
Well, then Han gets held back briefly by this guy Greedo, because it turns out he owes money to this guy Jabba the Hutt.
Okay.
And then they shoot at each other and Greedo gets hit.
Oh, okay, so which one of them shot first?
I don't think it matters.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, then stormtroopers end up shooting at them as they leave on Han's ship.
Oh, so which one of them gets hit by these sharpshooters?
Nobody. Stormtroopers have just the worst aim.
But you have Obi-Wan saying that they're super precise.
Oh, whoops.
Whoopsie.
Anyway, so meanwhile on the Death Star, the bad guys are gonna blow up Princess Leia's home planet.
Oh my god, she must be devastated.
Oh, she is, for about 10 seconds.
Oh wow, these people don't have much emotion.
So eventually Han's ship gets picked up by the Death Star.
Oh man, it's gonna be hard for them to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just hide under the floors on the ship as the stormtroopers search it.
The stormtroopers don't use their technology that detects life forms?
No, I guess they forgot they had that.
Wow.
And so then Han and Luke take out some stormtroopers and steal their gear, and it's just the perfect size for them.
Oh, very lucky.
And then they go rescue Princess Leia.
What happens to all the other rebels that were captured at the same time as her?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
And then they end up in a shootout in a hallway with some stormtroopers.
And do they have good aim or bad aim now?
Oh, bad aim from now on, for sure.
Okay, just checking.
And then Princess Leia shoots a hole in a wall vent and they dive into a garbage compactor.
Oh, wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, so, you know, that takes care of the stormtroopers. stormtrooper problem. Can't the stormtroopers just, you know, walk up to the hole and shoot them?
Yeah, but they're not going to.
How come?
Because
that works.
And meanwhile, Obi-Wan Kenobi runs into Darth Vader.
Uh-oh.
And he's like, "You're only a master of evil, Darth."
Is his first name Darth?
No.
Oh.
And then they duel with these lightsaber swords they have.
Oh, what's that gonna be like?
It's gonna be like two old guys who just woke up from a nap started fighting with their canes.
I guess that'll be fun to watch.
And Obi-Wan's gonna be like, "If you strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you could possibly imagine."
In what sense?
In the sense that if he dies, he'll be able to, like, communicate with Luke telepathically sometimes.
That just sounds like he's gonna turn into a very specific type of mental walkie-talkie. I don't know if that's more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Well, maybe Darth Vader doesn't have a very good imagination. We don't know.
Okay, that's a good point.
So then the heroes see Obi-Wan fighting, and he sacrifices himself so they don't try to rescue him.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, and so Luke is super sad.
He's sadder about the death of an old guy he barely knew than he was about the people that raised him.
That's right, but he's only sad for like a minute.
Oh, these people suck at grieving.
So then they check out the Death Star plans, and it turns out there's a little vent that if you shoot it, the whole thing blows up.
Okay.
And then Obi-Wan uses his new mental walkie-talkie powers to tell Luke to use the Force and blow up the Death Star, and so yeah, that works.
Fantastic.
And then Han and Luke both get medals.
What about Chewbacca?
No.
Oh, very harsh.
And so yeah, that's about it.
It sounds very cool. I guess my one question is, why would the Death Star have such a big fault built into it?
Oh yeah, I guess that is kind of a weird plot hole. I guess I could find an explanation, but I feel like it would take like 2 hours.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it would be pretty cool to explain it though, maybe like 40 years from now.
I thought I asked you to stop doing that.
I said 40 this time.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Let's do it.
So, you have a Star Wars movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
So, you might have heard that Mark Hamill had a car accident and broke his nose, so we're gonna have to kind of address the fact that his face is different.
Oh, way ahead of you. We're gonna start the movie on this ice planet called Hoth, right? And then this monster is gonna, you know, punch him in the frickin' face.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah, so Luke wakes up in this cave, and this monster has frozen his feet to the ceiling.
What? How did he manage that?
I don't know, but it happens off-screen, so you have to accept it.
Oh, I do. Okay, good to know.
Anyway, so Luke sees that his lightsaber conveniently fell right next to him and not outside as he was being violently dragged through the snow.
Oh, very lucky.
Yeah, so then he grabs a lightsaber using the Force and frees himself while somehow not cutting off his own feet.
Wow, skills.
And then he cuts the monster's arm off.
Oh, great, so he can finish off the monster and spend the night in the cave.
He sure can, but instead he's gonna run outside.
What? Isn't it freezing?
Yeah, he's gonna run right out of the cave in the freezing cold at dusk.
Is he able to keep himself warm with the Force or something?
No, not at all. He passes out pretty much immediately.
Oh.
But before he passes out, the ghost of Obi-Wan Kenobi shows up. And he's like, "You need to go to this planet Dagobah and meet a Jedi master named Yoda who actually trained me."
He shows up to tell him this right before he passes out in the cold?
Yeah, he waited for this moment after 3 years of silence. Obi-Wan is kind of a drama queen.
Okay, and you say this Yoda guy trained him?
Exactly, except he didn't.
What?
Yeah, Obi-Wan's kind of a liar too.
Oh, a very sassy ghost.
Anyway, so then Han Solo shows up and stuffs Luke inside a dead camel dinosaur.
Oh, that's nice of him, I guess.
Yeah, and these camel dinosaurs have warm guts, so Luke is able to survive in the cold.
Wow.
Anyway, so then back at the Rebel base, Leia kisses Luke because she wants to show Han she doesn't care about him.
Oh, a little love triangle, huh? That's cool. That's like a relatable human story.
Oh, you mean relatable as in I should have them be related?
No, that's not what I meant at all.
I mean, I guess they can be related if that's what you're into.
That's not, I didn't.
I'll write the reveal in the next movie, you weirdo.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so the Empire finds out about this Rebel base and they attack with these giant AT-AT things.
What are those?
They're these giant things that walk super slowly and can only shoot directly in front of them.
Oh, it doesn't sound like a very effective weapon.
Oh, they're very effective against enemies that are directly in front of them.
So the Rebels just don't attack them from the front?
Oh, no, they do.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, so a bunch of them get killed and they're trying to shoot these things down, but they have these big shields.
Uh-oh.
But then they tie them up and make them fall, and then when they shoot them, they explode.
The shields don't work anymore when they're on the ground?
Apparently not.
Well, great.
So then Han and Leia try to escape, but their hyperdrive isn't working, so they have to play hide and seek for, you know, the whole movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and at the same time, Luke takes off with R2-D2 to go to Dagobah.
He doesn't have any problems escaping?
None whatsoever. So anyway, he gets to this planet, and it's just a big swamp, and that's where he meets Yoda.
And what's Yoda's deal?
Well, he's tiny and green, and he says his words in, like, a backwards order.
Why?
Because.
Oh, okay.
So after some convincing, Yoda agrees to train Luke to be a Jedi.
Oh, what kind of training are we talking?
We're talking front flips, climbing things, lifting things with his mind, some more flips, a lot of flips.
Oh, being a Jedi requires
requires a lot of flipping.
It sure does. So anyway, after a couple of days of doing flips in a swamp with a puppet, Luke has a vision that his friends are in trouble, so he's like, I gotta go.
Okay.
And Yoda's like, no, you better not go. And even Obi-Wan shows up to be like, yeah, no, you need to finish your flippy training with this puppet who trained me, but also no, he didn't.
Oh, so what does Luke do?
Well, he decides to ignore the puppet and the ghost, and he takes off.
Oh, ignoring ghosts is tight. That's what I do all the time with a disembodied ghost head that lives in my office.
Well, what are you talking about? There's a ghost that lives in here?
Nope, there's not.
Well, okay then. So anyway, then Han and Leia go meet Lando Calrissian, who's an old friend of Han's.
Okay.
And he acts all friendly, but it turns out the Empire got there a couple of minutes before Han and Leia. So they get captured, and Han Solo gets frozen in carbonite.
Oh no.
And then Luke shows up, but it quickly becomes clear that he has not done enough flippy training.
Darth Vader overpowers him?
Yeah, he cuts his hand off.
Oh man, you love when people get their arms and hands cut off, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I just had to write that in there.
Very weird.
Anyway, so then Luke is like, Obi-Wan said you killed my father, and Vader's like, no, I am your father.
Oh, Luke, I am your father. That's a great quote.
That's not the quote, though. It's, no, I am your father.
Luke, I am your father. I love it.
Okay, whatever. So anyway, then Luke is like, you know, no!
Right.
And by now he's out on this thing with nothing below him but a huge drop.
Oh man, it's gonna be tough for him to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience. Who said that? I mean, they are right, it is gonna be that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just lets himself fall and he happens to land in a fun slide thing.
Oh, they should call him Lando, am I right?
That's not funny.
Okay.
Anyway, so then Luke is hanging from a thing in the sky, right? And he uses his brain force walkie-talkie to ask Leia for help.
Oh wow, that's a whole lot of convenience.
It's a whole lot of force usage.
Sounds like the same thing from a writing perspective.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Wow.
And so yeah, that's it.
What do you mean that's it?
That's it. It's over.
But Han is still frozen in carbonite and Darth Vader is still out there. Does this movie not have an ending?
No, not really. People are just gonna have to come see episode 6 in a couple of years.
Episode 6? What are you talking about? This is the second movie.
Of the first trilogy, which is technically the second trilogy, because after this we could do a trilogy taking place before this, and after that we could do a trilogy taking place after this.
Oh, I'm very confused.
Trilogy.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we need to make a bunch of these movies right now in the 80s before people lose interest in this Star Wars fad.
Yeah, true. I guess people won't really be into this franchise beyond this decade. So, you have a Star Wars sequel for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So Luke has concocted this amazing plan to save Han Solo from Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, amazing. So what's his plan?
It's pretty straightforward. They send in Leia in a disguise with Chewbacca as a prisoner.
Okay.
Then Luke sends a hologram of himself via C-3PO and R2-D2 and gives them as a gift.
Right.
Also, Lando's infiltrated the place as like a guard, and Luke also goes in person and gets thrown into a monster pit.
This is sounding like a lot.
Then he has Leia unfreeze Han, and everybody gets caught, so they all get brought out for execution, where R2 shoots Luke's lightsaber over to him, and he saves the day.
It feels like this plan could and should go wrong in 1,000 different ways.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. It goes exactly to plan.
How did he know that was all gonna work? Like, what if they just took R2 apart right away for scraps?
The Force?
I don't think you could just use the Force as an excuse. We're gonna have to address the fact that Luke's plan is insane.
Princess Leia's gonna be in a gold bikini along the way.
Plan's probably fine as is.
Great.
So what else happens?
Oh, well, Boba Fett is back.
Oh, people love that guy for some reason, so what's he gonna do?
Bounce off a wall like a cartoon character and die immediately.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's all done.
Jeez.
So anyway, then Luke goes to Dagobah to finish his training with Yoda.
Oh.
And Yoda's there making himself some food, but when Luke shows up, he's like, oh, you know what? I think I'm gonna die, actually.
Oh, he's just gonna die when Luke shows up?
Yeah, but before he dies, he's like, Luke, to finish your training and become a full Jedi, you have to go confront Darth Vader.
But wait, in the last movie, he was like, you can't go confront Vader until you finish your training.
Oh, whoops.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, so total opposite now.
Wow, yeah, total 180.
So then Luke has a chat with Obi-Wan's ghost, and he's like, hey, you told me my dad was dead, but then I found out that Darth Vader's my father, so what's up?
Oh, calling him out on his lie.
Yeah, but then Obi-Wan's like, well, from a certain point of view, I wasn't lying.
Oh man, such a sassy ghost.
The sassiest ghost. And so Luke also finds out that Leia is his sister.
Wow, so that kiss they shared is real weird now.
It sure is. So Luke tells her that they're related, and she talks about how she remembers their mom and how beautiful she was.
Oh, so Leia grew up with their mom?
No, their mom died at childbirth from being too sad.
What?
Yeah, pretty dramatic way to go, right?
So how does she remember her mom if she saw her for like a minute when she was like a minute old?
I don't know.
Oh, impossible baby memories are tight.
Anyway, so the big threat in this movie is that the Empire is building another Death Star.
Oh, I bet they're not leaving in that little port where if you shoot it, the whole thing explodes.
No, they definitely don't include that.
Wow, so it's gonna be tough to find a way to destroy this one.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, they don't have the port anymore, but they do have this tunnel that leads to a reactor that if you shoot it, the whole thing explodes.
They are very bad at making these things.
Yeah, they are.
Wow.
Anyway, so the good guys find out that there's a shield generator for this thing on this forest planet called Endor.
Oh, and how do they find out about this shield generator?
Oh, well, actually, we're gonna find out that the evil Emperor is the one who leaked the information so we could ambush them.
Oh, so we just sent them to a random location or to a decoy?
Oh, no, he sent them to the actual one.
What? If it was a lie, why not lie about the whole thing?
I don't know, but he's also the one who leaked the information about the Death Star's new weakness.
Oh, okay, I see. And so that part is fake, and even if they attack it, it's not gonna blow up?
Oh, no, that's real, too.
What is going on?
Well, if he gave them fake intel, they wouldn't have a chance at winning.
Wouldn't that be what he would want?
Yeah, but that's not what I want. I want the heroes to stand a chance.
And for them to stand a chance, he had to make the Emperor an idiot?
That's right.
Well, okay, then.
So anyway, the rebels get all camoed up and head into the forest.
Oh, yeah, I guess they really need to blend in with the surroundings, huh?
Yeah, and C-3PO is all like,
wait, they dress in camouflage, but they bring a big shiny gold robot with them?
That's right. So then the main characters get captured by these super cute merchandising opportunities.
Oh, I like the sound of them.
Yeah, and they think that C-3PO is like a golden god, but they want to cook and eat everybody else.
Oh, so does C-3PO just tell them to stop?
No, he says it's against his programming to impersonate a god, so he can't tell them what to do.
So how's he gonna help them?
He's gonna wait a couple minutes, then tell them what to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so anyway, then there's gonna be this big battle on Endor and this big battle in space.
Wow, 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 wow.
And Luke's gonna go see Darth Vader to be like, hey, do you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Savior, the light side of the Force?
How does that go?
Oh, not well at first. Darth Vader brings him to see the Emperor, and they have this very uncomfortable conversation that leads to the Emperor trying to kill Luke with lightning.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. But then Darth Vader steps in to save his son and chucks the Emperor over the railing.
Ah, he became a good guy.
He did. And so then Darth Vader is dying, and we get to see him without his helmet.
Oh, wow. What does he look like?
I'm gonna say mashed potatoes.
Oh, not what I was expecting, but okay.
Anyway, so then Luke escapes off the new Death Star just before it explodes, and the rebels win.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah, so they're gonna have this big party with the merchandising opportunities, and then Luke's gonna see the Force ghosts of Yoda and Obi-Wan and of Anakin Skywalker.
He sees Darth Vader's Force ghost?
He does. It's gonna be a very sweet moment.
But doesn't that mean that technically Palpatine is also still out there as a Force ghost?
No.
I feel like it does, though. He's gonna come back, isn't he?
Nuh-uh.
So, you have a new Star Wars show for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So we're gonna follow Mando, right?
Mando, huh? That's what I call my love handles.
Well, please stop doing that, sir, because Mando's short for Mandalorian, and he's this badass Mandalorian bounty hunter.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, and this client sends him after this target that he wants alive or dead, but this target turns out to be a very valuable merchandising opportunity.
Oh?
Yeah, it turns out it's a baby Yoda.
Wait, a baby Yoda?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What was that? What happened?
Your eyes, they had like, it was like dollar signs in them.
What do you mean?
There were dollar signs in your eyes.
Like where my pupils are?
Like in front of them, I think. It was in front of them. It was dollar signs.
That's not possible.
That's what it was. I mean, you heard that cha-ching noise, right? That wasn't just me?
I did.
Did it hurt?
I mean, it was uncomfortable for sure. Am I dying?
I don't know.
Can you hold on for a second, please?
I guess. Yeah, okay.
What do you mean by dollar signs?
In my eyes, it made like a cash register noise.
That's not possible medically.
It happened.
You know, Mr. Producer Guy, it's not uncommon for people to create imaginary scenarios to deal with overwhelming information.
It wasn't imaginary. I have a witness.
And this witness, you trust them and their ability to see?
I mean, he has glasses, but...
Huh.
It happened.
Uh-huh. I was working outside and a pretty woman walking past.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm told that my eyes just kind of shot out of my head and my jaw dropped in a way that should have dislocated it.
Wow.
And I made this awooga sound as if I was some kind of horn, and for the longest time I felt insane, and I've been working on myself and I'm starting to accept that maybe that's something my body does when I see a pretty woman, you know? And maybe that's okay. You know, that's so true, and I want to thank you for sharing that with the group. Mr. Producer Guy, would you like to share your story with us?
Yeah, hi, my name is Producer Guy, and I heard about, I guess, a merchandising opportunity that would make me just a ridiculous sum of money, and my eyes just kind of behaved like a cash register, and I don't know
what to do with that. You know, I feel like I'm going crazy. I don't know what's wrong with me.
You know, if I may, it sounds like maybe you just really like money.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I do.
And, you know, maybe sometimes that manifests itself physically, and maybe that's okay.
Huh. Yeah. You know what? That is okay, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I have to go.
Go on, get out of here.
All right, I'm back.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I went on a little journey of self-discovery. Turns out I'm okay with the fact that I love money.
Great character growth, sir, although I'm pretty sure we already knew that about you.
Yeah.
I've been standing here for 3 days waiting for you to come back.
Amazing.
Used your garbage can as a bathroom.
Oh, using my garbage bin as a bathroom is tight.
So what else happens in the show?
Right, okay, so Mando is with this droid who wants to kill Baby Yoda because he's like, listen, the bounty orders were quite clear.
It was to bring him back dead or alive.
God, I don't know anymore. You've been gone for days.
Okay, sorry. Jeez.
So anyway, Mando kills the droid and saves Baby Yoda. And so throughout the show, he's gonna become kind of a father figure.
Very adorable.
So Mando goes to a planet, right? Because he's gotta get a thing. But he's gotta make a deal with some individuals in order to get it and help them face some threat they're facing.
Okay.
So then he's gonna do that and get slightly betrayed or attacked. But it's gonna work out in the end and he's gonna get the thing he needs. And Baby Yoda is gonna do cute stuff the whole time.
I like the sound of that.
Right? So times 8.
Times 8?
Yeah, times 8, or well, for 2 seasons it'd be times 16.
What are you talking about?
Well, the formula, sir, that's the show. Pretty much every episode, just so many side quests.
Oh, so what do you think?
Well, I mean, that sounds good. Could I get more details, though?
I guess, if you really need them.
What kind of enemies are they gonna go up against?
Oh, a whole bunch of enemies. Mando's gonna get shot at a lot.
Uh-oh.
But pretty much by stormtroopers who don't know how to aim, and when he does get hit, well, his armor makes him pretty much invincible.
Oh, not a whole lot of serious threats then.
Guess not, but at the end of the first season, we're gonna meet this big bad guy, Moff Gideon, and he really wants Baby Yoda because he has Jedi powers.
Oh yeah, how are we gonna meet him?
Well, see, Mando's in a building talking to that client that had hired him to kill Baby Yoda and a bunch of stormtroopers.
Okay.
And then out of nowhere, Moff Gideon's gonna have his men open fire and kill his own men and trap Mando inside this building.
Why?
Well, because he's given them till sundown to surrender.
If Moff Gideon already had men inside with Mando, why did he kill those men and then give the good guys time to plan an escape?
Because the good guys need time to figure out an escape plan or the show is over.
That makes sense.
Anyway, so then there's gonna be a big fight and Mando's gonna get so hurt, he's gonna have to take his helmet off.
Oh, is that a problem?
Yeah, because see, he's not allowed to take his helmet off in front of another living thing. That's part of his creed.
With arms wide open.
What?
That's my creed.
Obviously not relevant to what I was talking about. So he's gonna take his helmet off in front of this reprogrammed droid that he had killed, but he doesn't like droids.
Okay.
So that's gonna be a big learning point for him, you know? It's okay to fully put your faith in artificial intelligence.
Our Disney Plus algorithm has been suggesting we start pushing that kind of message.
Right.
Kind of aggressively, now that I think about it.
Nothing to worry about there, sir. So Mando's eventually gonna learn that he needs to bring Baby Yoda to a Jedi so it can be trained.
Okay.
So in the second season, he's gonna try to find one and do every single side quest he can along the way.
Like what?
Oh, well, for example, he's gonna meet this marshal that's wearing Mandalorian armor, so he wants to get it back.
Right.
So he strikes a deal where if he helps this guy kill this big monster that's bugging the town, he'll give him the armor back.
Very exciting.
But then at the end of the episode, we're gonna see Boba Fett watching them. Turns out it's his armor.
He's from the other thing.
He sure is, sir.
Amazing.
Yeah, and so he's gonna follow Mando around because he wants to confront him and get his armor back.
Wouldn't it have been easier for him to get it off of that marshal guy instead of a Mandalorian warrior?
Hey, shut up. And Mando's also gonna meet some characters from the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels.
Oh boy, what are they gonna do?
Same thing as Boba Fett, sir. Show off some cool action scenes and promote their own Disney Plus shows.
I like the way you think.
Thanks, sir. So at another point, Mando wants to get some plans to locate Moff Gideon's cruiser, and he's gotta team up with this ex-Imperial Mayfeld.
And what kind of creature is he?
He's a Bostonian.
Oh, I love science fiction.
So they're the only two that can go to this terminal, because everybody else in their squad is on the bad guy's radar, and this machine scans your face.
It scans your face?
Yeah, so Mando's gotta take his helmet off, which is a pretty big deal, and it scans his face and he gets the coordinates.
Wait, was that machine just checking to see if he had a face?
Yeah, you know, I guess to make sure he's not a robot or like a known enemy.
So as long as you have a face and you're not a known enemy, you can access the bad guy information.
That's what we're going with. So eventually there's gonna be this big showdown against Moff Gideon, and he has these crazy droids called Dark Troopers.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and these things are nuts. I mean, Mando struck struggle to survive against one of them, and then there's a bunch of them that they're about to come face to face with.
Sounds like it's gonna be hard to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, frickin' Luke Skywalker is gonna show up and destroy them all.
He's from all of it.
He sure is, sir.
Amazing. I was starting to get concerned that this Star Wars project wasn't gonna be about the Skywalkers in some way.
Well, it is, sir. And then there's gonna be a very sad moment because Mando's gotta leave Baby Yoda to go be trained by Luke.
Well, that is sad, but the important thing is I'm gonna make so much money off Baby Yoda merch.
Yeah, I actually wanted to talk to you about that. I thought it might be nice if we could hold off on creating Baby Yoda merch just for a while, just to make sure there aren't any leaks and the fans can really be surprised in the pilot.
What? But money.
But a cool and surprising experience for the fans.
But my money.
But the experience.
This goes against everything in my nature, but okay.
Hey, there's some character growth, sir.
So, you have a new Star Wars show for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's gonna be about this badass space bounty hunter in Mandalorian armor dealing with bad guys.
Okay, we already have that show.
Yeah, no, that's true, but this one would be about Boba Fett.
Oh, people love that character and that thing he did in the original trilogy where he was, you know, briefly in it.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like an origin story or something? Because he fell into a Sarlacc pit and died.
Oh, well, no, actually, see, he didn't die. At the beginning of this, we find out he survived.
Wow, how'd he get out of the Sarlacc pit?
By getting out of it.
That makes sense, actually. That was a good strategy on his part.
Yeah, so it seems like his armor helped him survive, but then some Jawas steal it from him and leave him for dead.
Friggin' Jawas.
And then he gets picked up by some Tusken Raiders.
Friggin' Tusken Raiders.
No, he actually ends up becoming friends with them.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, so see, the show's actually gonna follow Boba Fett in his new role as a crime boss on Tatooine, right?
Right.
But whenever he takes a dip in a Bacta tank, we're gonna see flashback dreams and nightmares and stuff of him bonding with the Tuskens.
Oh, watching an older man have nightmares while bathing is tight.
Okay.
And so what kind of important stuff are we learning from these flashbacks?
A little baby lizard latched onto his brainstem, and so he walked around and got a cool branch and made it into a pointy stick with his new friends.
Oh. Alright, so now he's got a pointy stick and he's learned the value of friendship or something. Anyway, all his friends die.
Oh my god.
We're also gonna flash back to when he saved Fennec Shand's life and asked for her help.
Help to do what?
To go back inside the Sarlacc pit to get his armor. He wants his armor back.
Didn't you say he crawled out of the Sarlacc pit with his armor in the first episode?
Oh yeah, whoops.
Whoopsie.
So anyway, they become friends and go to become crime bosses on Tatooine.
What kind of crimes are they gonna do?
Not a single one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they mostly walk around town trying to get people to respect them, but nobody does because there's like four of them.
Yeah, that's a pretty tiny crime boss team.
But at a certain point, they're gonna hire this young gang of cool-looking cyborgs.
And what's their deal?
Well, they look like they're from Back to the Future too, and they have these very colorful Vespa scooter things.
It doesn't feel like it fits with the vibe or look of Tatooine at all.
Yeah, but counterpoint, colors are fun to look at. I like to look at them.
That is a good point. I like purple.
So they're gonna have this big old chase scene with the mayor's assistant. It's gonna be super slow-paced.
Very exciting. Wait, did you say slow-paced?
And they find out the mayor's working with these bad guys called the Pikes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so there's a war coming to town.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so then Mando's gonna be trying to use that darksaber he has, but he's not super good at it.
Wait, Mando?
Yeah, you know, Din Djarin, played by Pedro Pascal. So anyway, he's gonna be...
Well, hold on, that's a different show. That's The Mandalorian.
Yeah, well, see, I was getting kind of bored, and I really like The Mandalorian, so I figure we do a couple episodes of that show.
Where's Boba Fett gonna be?
Yeah, it doesn't matter, he'll be off screen doing something or other.
What's the show called again?
The Book of Boba Fett.
But he's not in several of the episodes.
Yeah, no, he's not. Baby Yoda will be, though.
Oh, my little green money baby.
And freaking Luke Skywalker, too, who sometimes looks like a real person.
Nice.
Anyway, so we're gonna spend a solid 20 minutes on Mando putting together a new ship.
Why?
Because he needs a new ship.
All right.
And then Luke's gonna give Baby Yoda a choice, you know, either continue your Jedi training with me or go back with the Mandalorian.
What does he choose?
Well, he chooses to go back with Mando because he likes him a lot.
So the whole main storyline of the first two seasons of The Mandalorian trying to get this Baby Yoda to a Jedi, that's just kind of undone in two episodes of a different show.
Yes. Well, okay then. So then finally Mando joins Boba Fett and it's time for war against the Pikes.
Oh boy.
So Boba Fett is like, well, I guess we could go set up in this bunker type thing that I have, but then one of the cyborg kids is like, no, we're gonna stand up and fight right here in the busy part of town where all the people are.
That doesn't make any sense.
So Boba Fett's like, yeah, okay, that sounds good.
It doesn't though.
Yeah, well, that's gonna be kind of a recurring thing in this show. Boba Fett's gonna order people to do stuff and they're gonna be like, no. And he's gonna be like, okay,
really?
Yeah, so then there's this big old war on the streets of Tatooine.
Oh, wow, 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 wow.
Well.
And one of the cyborg kids gonna do a little spin move before shooting. It's gonna look very cool, possibly.
Why would he do that?
Because maybe it'll look cool. It might. I don't know.
What tactical advantage does doing a little spin give him?
Well, now he'll be, I don't know, dizzy, I guess?
Before aiming?
Listen, sir, he's gonna do a spin move, all right? I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about it.
Okay, let me get off of that little thing of yours.
And then there are gonna be these big droids with massive shields, and they start firing all over the place.
Uh-oh.
And everybody's shooting at these shields, but they're impenetrable.
So why bother shooting?
Unclear. And so Boba Fett is like, these droids are gonna destroy the city if we don't stop them.
Yeah, man, well, it sounds like that's gonna be hard to do.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, see, he goes to get this big old Rancor that he knows and learned how to ride off screen, and this thing starts destroying the city.
I guess that's helpful.
And with the help of the Rancor, they get those freaking shields down.
Ah, so now everybody can fire on the droids.
Yeah, but no, they're gonna stop shooting the droids at this point now that the shields are down.
What? Why?
Unclear. And so then Boba Fett's gonna have a big showdown with Cad Bane.
Wait, who's Cad Bane?
Oh, he's like the big bad guy of the show. We're gonna introduce him in like the before to last episode.
I feel like if you want this showdown to have any weight, you should maybe introduce him earlier and spend some time building up this rivalry of theirs.
Well, fans of the Clone Wars know this is a pretty big deal.
What about other people?
No.
Maybe we should...
Well, there's not really time for it, sir.
But we're gonna spend 2 episodes with the Mandalorian.
Yeah, and 20 minutes of one of those episodes is him building a ship that he wants.
Okay, but maybe we cut down a little on that stuff and spend more time building up the protagonist and the antagonist.
No.
Oh, okay.
And so Boba Fett wins, and now he's a good guy with a heart of gold.
That's... Alright, that's not really Boba Fett's deal.
Just an old softy who has dreams in his bathtub and goes around town suggesting things and then just doing whatever the other person wants to do.
All right.
So what do you think?
Well, listen, I think it sounds like some content for sure.
It is, yeah.
And I mean, if we have the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda in the finale, I don't see how people could not like it.
So, you have a new idea for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking it'd be really cool if we did Ahsoka.
Well, listen, I'm open to anything, but I do usually bathe alone.
No, like we'd make a Star Wars show about the character Ahsoka Tano.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, we are due to plop some new content on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah, due for a big ploppin'.
And what's going on with Ahsoka? What's her deal?
Well, she stands around with her arms crossed and a little smirk on her face.
Okay, what else?
Not much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very stoic and smirky and never anything else. So anyway, she wants to find this map that could lead to this bad guy, Thrawn.
Oh, bad guys love having secret maps that lead to them.
They sure do, sir. But when she gets this map, these bad droids pop out that were also sent to get the map, and after losing a fight, they self-destruct with a massive explosion.
Wouldn't that risk destroying the map they were sent to get?
Technically, yeah, I guess so. Weird programming.
Well, okay then.
So anyway, now Ahsoka can't figure out this map because it's a ball, so she brings it to her old apprentice Sabine because she does art or something.
That makes sense, sure.
And Sabine sneaks off with this thing and figures out you can open it by turning it a certain way.
Nobody had tried that?
Apparently not. But then she gets stabbed by this evil apprentice lady, Shin.
Oh, so Sabine dies?
What? No. She was just impaled with a lightsaber. Why would that...
Is that not bad?
Not anymore. No, that's meaningless. She's up and at him in the next episode.
Well, okay then. So who was this Tibia person that attacked her?
Shin.
What did I say?
Well, Shin is the apprentice of this guy, Baylan, who has Jedi powers and the best beard in the galaxy.
What?
And they rescue this lady Morgan Elsbeth, because they all want to go rescue Thrawn, who's stuck in another galaxy.
Not good.
So now that Sabine has recovered from being tickled by a lightsaber, her and Ahsoka need to stop all that bad stuff from happening.
So what do?
Well, they freaking chase the bad guys down to this big old space hyper ring thing, but then their ship gets disabled, so they gotta fight.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so Ahsoka gets out of her ship and fights these bad guys with her lightsabers.
What do you mean?
Well, they fire at her, so she deflects those shots, and then she kills one of them when they swoop in next to her.
Why wouldn't the bad guys just stay slightly far away from their disabled ship and fire at them instead of swooping in at lightsaber lady?
Unclear, but so then on a nearby planet, Ahsoka's gonna manage to kill a fart.
Stopping a fart is tight.
But then she's gonna lose a fight against that Baylan guy who sends her into the ocean.
For a swim?
For a death.
Oh no.
Yeah, so then she's gonna spend a whole episode in the world between worlds hanging out with Anakin's ghost.
So what kind of change does she go through?
Well, she learns that it's better to live than to die.
Did she not know that?
Apparently not, and now she's gonna dress in light clothes instead of dark ones.
Oh, okay, yeah, we might as well spend an episode on a wardrobe change.
But meanwhile, Sabine made a deal with the bad guys to give them the map.
What? Why?
Well, see, her good friend Ezra Bridger might still be alive in the same galaxy as Thrawn, so in exchange for the map, they're gonna bring her there too.
So this Thrawn guy can't be that big of a deal if she's doing something like that.
Well, he'll bring war and genocide to their galaxy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so they head over to this other galaxy with that hyperspace ring, and now Ahsoka has to figure out how to get there too.
Well, it sounds like that's gonna be impossible. The bad guys have to use a giant hyperspace ring.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because see, giant space whales can hyperspace travel too, so Ahsoka gets in one of those.
She gets inside a whale?
She gets inside a whale.
How does she know that this space whale's going to the exact same spot that the bad guys did?
Well, she doesn't, but it totally does.
Oh, well, great.
So then we meet Thrawn, who as it turns out is a smirky blue guy with a bunch of stormtroopers.
Very scary.
And he allows Sabine to go find Ezra, which she does almost immediately.
So he was pretty close by.
Yeah, kind of shocking that the bad guys never found him, to be honest. He was right there.
Wow, so they must have a huge emotional reunion.
Oh boy, not particularly, no. And then they just kind of slowly make their way back.
How does he react to her selling out the galaxy to find him?
I don't know, she doesn't tell him anything, so then they just kind of hang out and slowly make their way back.
Well, I mean, I guess if there's no rush.
Actually, Thrawn told her if she wasn't back by the time his ship was loaded up with cargo, they'd leave her here in the galaxy stranded.
Well, but anyway,
turns out Thrawn was sneaky.
What do you mean?
Well, technically, they said they'd let her find Ezra, but they didn't say anything about not killing her after that.
Oh, that is sneaky.
Yeah, and he tells the other bad guys, look, you cannot underestimate the Jedi, okay? You simply can't.
So what does he do?
He sends two TIE fighters after them. He says he doesn't want to waste resources. So later, they're surrounded by stormtroopers, and Ahsoka is above, timing her landing onto the planet.
So she swoops in?
Well, no, she decides to land next to Baylan.
Oh.
Yeah, and so she fights him a little bit, but then she's like, I don't have time for this, and she runs off to her friends.
But she chose to land there.
She did, and now that she arrives next to her friends, all the stormtroopers forget that they're holding guns.
Well, great.
So eventually the good guys make it to Thrawn's tower that he's about to fly away from, and they have to fight a bunch more stormtroopers.
Yikes, going up against a bunch more stormtroopers, that's, well, I wouldn't say dangerous, but kind of a roadblock.
Yeah, barely, so they kill all of them pretty quick.
Right, yeah.
But then get this, since Thrawn is working with some witches, all these stormtroopers come back as, like, zombies.
Oh, wait, so, like, slower stormtroopers that are worse at fighting?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like much of a threat.
It's not really, no, so they get away quite quickly again.
That makes sense, yeah.
So now Thrawn sends that Morgan lady to go fight them and slow them down.
Wow, so what does she do?
She immediately lets Ezra and Sabine walk right past her.
Okay.
And then she fights Ahsoka and dies pretty quickly as well.
All right.
And then Sabine and Ezra are gonna be fighting some bad guys, and Sabine's finally gonna be able to use the Force. She's been trying to do that this whole series.
Oh, well, good for her.
Yeah, so then she uses the Force to send Ezra flying onto Thrawn's ship that's taking off.
She's just immediately that good at using the Force?
Yes.
Well, okay then.
So now Sabine and Ahsoka are stuck in this galaxy, but Ezra gets back home.
How does he manage that?
Well, he dresses up as a stormtrooper and steals a ship, and when he gets onto a good guy's ship, he takes his helmet off to reveal it's him.
But they could have killed him. Why didn't he already have that off?
Dramatic effect and nothing else. So what do you think?
So this entire series was just kind of Ahsoka and Sabine switching places with Ezra and Thrawn.
Yeah, and Sabine trading the well-being of an entire galaxy for one guy and then nobody calling her out on that.
I feel like it's maybe missing a little something. Kind of feels like just content for the sake of content.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at it. We can certainly dive into that if you like. Or we slap a nostalgia cameo into this and call it a day.
Yeah, that works. Let's do that.
You said you had a new Star Wars script to pitch me?
Yes, sir, and I know you bought Lucasfilm for $4 billion, so there's a lot riding on this.
Yeah, we really have to find a way to capture the essence of the original trilogy. I mean, I know that's gonna be tough.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Really?
Yeah, well, I figure we can just redo some of the stuff from A New Hope.
Redo stuff? Can we get away with that?
Yeah, well, not like a lot of stuff. Maybe just have, like, a Force-sensitive lead character from a desert planet that dreams of a better life, some incredibly important information stored in a lovable droid, a powerful bad guy with a mask and a red lightsaber and a bad temper, a cantina full of questionable characters and strange music, the main female character getting captured and brought into a giant starbase that can destroy planets followed by a rescue mission to get her out, and then if there's time, a bunch of ships that get sent on trench runs to hit a weak point on the base and blow it up, the lightsaber death of an old mentor figure witnessed by the lead character, just a couple of things like that.
Oh, people won't be mad about us copying minor stuff like that, right?
No, I think if we call it fan service, we'll be good.
That's a good point. So, tell me about the new characters.
Oh, this is gonna blow your mind. One of the main characters is named Finn, and he's a stormtrooper.
But
stormtroopers are evil. That's what's amazing about this. Finn realizes that killing innocent people is bad and he doesn't want to do it.
That's really good. That's going to humanize stormtroopers.
Exactly. They used to be these disposable things in Star Wars, and now it's like, these are people.
These are real people with real emotions and feelings.
Right, and stormtroopers didn't choose this life. Like, they were put into this at birth.
It really makes you see stormtroopers in a new light. So how does Finn escape?
Oh, well, he kills a bunch of stormtroopers and gets away.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he and Poe have like a little stormtrooper murder rampage.
Poe?
Oh yeah, Poe is this awesome resistance pilot and also an opportunity for us to pull a Dumbledore if we want.
Pull a Dumbledore?
Yeah, that's when you wait a couple of years to reveal a character's sexual orientation.
Oh.
Yeah, there's kind of maybe a thing between him and Finn. We hint at it.
Interesting.
And then there's Raymond.
Oh, who's he?
No, she is the big star of this movie.
And her name is Raymond?
Raymond, yeah. You don't like it?
I'm not crazy about it.
Okay, I ran that by everybody in the office, but...
And everybody loves Raymond?
Everybody loves Raymond.
Okay.
Look, tell you what, I'll shorten it to Ray.
Yeah, that's better, and maybe change the A to an E.
Sure.
Thanks, that feels better.
So anyway, Rey is the new hero of the franchise.
I'm listening.
When we meet her, she's like super resourceful and has all these skills.
And she's gonna lose everything and have to go through big changes?
No, she's just gonna kind of realize that she has other skills too.
Oh, so instead of having a character arc...
No, it's more of a character just upwards line.
Very interesting, and what's her backstory?
Oh, we're barely gonna talk about it so everybody could come up with theories.
Smart.
And then there's Kylo Ren. He's the son of Han Solo and Princess Leia, and he's evil.
Really? What's his deal?
Well, he wants to be just like his grandpa Vader, and he has these really intense temper tantrums.
Oh, you know what? I could picture him already.
You have some ideas for casting?
Yeah, so you know that show Girls?
Yeah, that show that's all about women and real takes on their stories and their lives.
Exactly, so I'm thinking of the guy from that show.
Oh, so the big breakout star from Girls can be the guy from Girls.
Adam Driver. He'd be perfect.
I'm all for it.
Now tell me about the story. What actually happens in the movie?
Right, so everybody's trying to find Luke Skywalker because he's the only Jedi left.
He's the last Jedi?
Yeah.
I like the sound of that. Remind me of that later.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
So anyway, there's an important part of this map that probably leads to him that's being kept inside this little droid called BB-8.
What's he look like?
Imagine if a salad bowl fell upside down on a soccer ball and for some reason you wanted to hug it.
That's gonna sell a lot of toys.
Oh, for sure. So BB-8 ends up alone on this planet called Jakku.
Jakku?
Basically Tatooine.
Oh.
Yeah, and then there's kind of a string of coincidences, and that leads us to the end of the movie.
Coincidences?
Oh yeah, a lot.
Like what?
Well, BB-8 happens to stumble upon Rey, who happens to be Force sensitive, and Finn happens to have his little spiritual awakening when they capture BB-8's owner, Poe. So he helps him escape because he needs a pilot, and then they happen to get separated during a crash on Jakku, and then Finn happens to put on his jacket so BB-8 can happen to point him out, and then they escape in a ship that happens to be the Millennium Falcon, and Rey happens to be a world-class pilot, and then almost immediately they happen to get picked up by its owner Han Solo, who also happens to be the father of the big bad guy and happens to bring them to see someone who happens to have Luke Skywalker's lightsaber, which happens to have a huge connection with Rey because she happens to have force powers. So when she gets captured by Kylo Ren, she happens to realize she has powers that help her escape, and then the resistance blows up the big bad guy base because it happens to have a big weak spot that they happen to know about because Finn used to be a janitor there.
And Rey doesn't kill Kylo Ren or vice versa?
No, the ground happens to open up between them and they can't finish fighting.
Doesn't that all feel a little too convenient?
Yeah, but I think we could chalk it up to like the will of the Force or whatever.
Okay.
You don't think people will buy it?
Well, maybe just to be safe, we can distract people with random cameos.
That could work. Who would you get?
Just off the top of my head, maybe.
Okay, so we have a lot of great stuff set up from The Force Awakens that we have to pay off in this movie, so let's start with Snoke. What do you have planned for Snoke?
Sure, well, you know how he was this dark, ominous hologram figure?
Yeah. Well, in Episode 8, we're gonna see him in person, and he's gonna be more of like a disfigured old playboy.
He is.
Yeah, and he has like a really flashy gold robe on. It looks like what they probably give you if you rent a suite at a Trump hotel.
Interesting.
Yeah, so overall, he looks like if Hugh Hefner fell face first down an elevator shaft, and then they did their best.
And so do we find out more about him as a character?
Oh yeah, definitely. So you know how in the first movie it was like, who is this guy? What's his deal?
Yeah.
Well, in this movie we confirm that he's like an evil guy.
Oh, okay, saving him for a bigger role in Episode 9.
No, he dies.
He does?
Yeah, Kylo Ren cuts him in half.
Wow, do you think the fans are gonna be disappointed, or
what do you mean?
Well, I mean, we kind of baited fans for 2 years with questions like, who's Snoke? And now he's dead.
Right, that's what makes it so surprising.
Oh, true, I didn't think of it that way. Plus, it gives more weight to the reveal of Rey's parents.
Oh yeah, about that, they are nobody.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kylo Ren says he saw it in a vision, so they're dead, they're nobody.
Is he telling the truth?
Yeah, I don't know, we're just gonna kind of gloss over it.
Okay, so what about the other big cliffhanger?
What's that?
Well, at the end, Rey is handing Luke his lightsaber back. It's like a huge moment.
Oh yeah, well, he just tosses it
over his shoulder like garbage.
Oh.
Yeah, and then he squeezes some boobs and goes fishing.
Whose boobs?
Just this big alien sea cow with four boobs.
A big alien sea cow with four boobs.
Yeah, and then the alien sea cow with four boobs looks at Rey like... You seen this? So we're really taking all the stuff that The Force Awakens set up and just throwing it out the window.
Pretty much, yeah. But here's the thing. I don't think JJ actually had answers to those questions.
What makes you say that?
Well, I mean, you've seen Lost.
True. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so I figure let's just kind of wipe the slate clean.
Fair enough. Let the past die. Kill it if you have to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that. Can I add that in?
Sure.
Thanks. And oh, actually, there is one big question we are going to answer in here.
What's that?
How does Kylo Ren look without a shirt on?
Was that a big question?
Don't tell me you've never wondered.
No, I don't think I have.
Well, the answer is surprisingly good.
Well, okay.
Yeah, dude works out.
So what else happens in the movie?
Oh, well, there's a really powerful scene where Kylo Ren, with his shirt on, is going to kill his mom, Leia.
Like he killed his father.
Exactly, but at the last second, he stops himself.
Wow.
But then it's too late. Leia's command post is hit by another ship from the First Order.
Incredible.
Yeah, and we see her body floating through space, and it's a really beautiful end for the character, because you should have her fly back.
What?
Leia, have her fly back like Mary Poppins.
But how?
You know Mary Poppins?
Yeah, I know Mary Poppins.
Have her fly back like Mary Poppins.
But how?
She uses the Force? I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I don't really have plans for her for the rest of the movie, but...
She could be in a coma. It's cool.
Yeah, no, sure. I'll have her fly back like Mary Poppins.
Awesome, thanks. I really like Mary Poppins.
You're welcome.
So I'm still not getting exactly what this movie is about.
Okay, well basically imagine a car chase.
Yeah, sounds exciting.
Now imagine that chase was happening in space and really slowly.
Right?
So basically that's it. The First Order is waiting for the Resistance to run out of fuel so they can blow them up.
That doesn't sound super thrilling.
It's not. And also the Resistance can't go light speed because the First Order can track them now.
So they just kind of
float around for the whole movie. So then Finn and this new character Rose go on a super long side quest that doesn't work.
It doesn't work at all?
Not even a little. And they go to this casino city and they see like slave children and slave animals.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, and they manage to free the animals. So they're like, you know what? No matter what happens, this was worth it.
Not the slave children?
No, they're still slaves.
And what's the deal with this Rose character? Why is she in this?
Well, she's there so Finn can have someone to say funny things to.
Right, makes sense.
Also, at the end of the movie, Finn is gonna make this amazing self-sacrifice and save the day, and she swoops in and stops him.
Why?
Because she wanted a little kiss.
Oh, that's cute, I guess.
Yeah, and it really comes out of nowhere because there was no romantic chemistry there whatsoever.
And she stops him from saving the day. Doesn't that put everybody's lives in danger?
It does. I mean, Luke shows up and saves the day, but... She didn't know that was gonna happen.
And what about some of the other characters? What about BB-8?
Well, BB-8 is now a superhero.
Really?
Yeah, he's basically the best fighter in the movie.
Wow.
What about Captain Phasma?
Oh, well, I thought she was really underused in the first movie.
Agreed. So I did that again.
Oh.
Yeah, and also she dies.
Wow.
But we do find out her armor is, like, really strong, like, blaster-proof.
How come only she has that armor and not all the stormtroopers?
I don't know.
And Rey?
Yeah, she gets a lot stronger in this movie with little to no training or struggle.
It's like the classic hero's journey, but you cut out all the middle stuff.
Exactly. What else happens? We have R2-D2 and C-3PO. They both show up and they're like... Hey, we're in this.
Fan service.
Mm-hmm, and also there's a purple-haired vice admiral that keeps secrets for no reason. And Kylo Ren and Rey slide into each other's Force DMs.
Okay, now let's talk merchandise.
Okay.
You mentioned BB-8, but I feel like we need something new to sell toys.
Yeah, makes sense.
I know it's gonna be tough to come up with something that people just blindly throw money at.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Really?
Yeah, just what are two creatures that people find cute?
I don't know, seals and... penguins.
Perfect, I'll mix those two together and put a bunch of them on Luke's island.
Are you gonna incorporate them into the plot somehow?
No.
Okay, this is fun. What else can we come up with?
Okay, what are some amazing gifts you'd surprise your wife with?
I don't know, maybe a puppy or some jewelry?
Okay, so how about...
So, you have a Star Wars sequel for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
So in the opening text crawl, we're gonna find out that Palpatine is alive again, and he sent out a transmission to everybody.
Oh, Palpatine is back? How is that possible?
Well, the dark side is a pathway to many abilities some would consider unnatural.
Oh, very vague. What does that mean?
It means get all the way off my back about this and don't bring it up again.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
So it turns out he was pulling the strings this whole time, like he created Snoke.
Seriously?
Yep, we didn't see him because he was in a basement with strobe lights.
It's so strange that we never hinted at this at all whatsoever in any way.
Yeah, pretty crazy, but this was
This was always the plan.
Was it, though?
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't start a trilogy without a roadmap, you know? I didn't do that.
Well, okay then. So what happens in this thing?
Well, you know how in The Last Jedi we found out that Rey's parents are nobody?
Right, yeah. Between that and the Broom Kid, it seemed like maybe we were going for, like, a hopeful message. Like, the Force can be with anyone. You don't have to be related.
Well, it turns out that Rey is Palpatine's granddaughter.
Oh, she is?
Yeah. Pretty cool, right?
So that means that Palpatine has gotten... you know, intimate.
Oh my god, yeah, no, I guess it does. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh, I'm picturing it.
So am I, and I hate it.
Do it.
Oh, he for sure said that.
Okay, maybe we can move on.
I would literally love nothing more. So what happens in the movie?
Well, the good guys want to get to Palpatine, but to do that, they need to get a thing.
Okay.
But to get that thing, they're gonna have to go to a place and get another thing, and go to another place and get another thing.
Okay, kind of sounds like a lot of fetch quests, like in a video game.
Well, people love video games.
That's a good point. Video games make money, so where do they go?
Well, they go to Burning Man, and they meet Lando Calrissian, remember?
He's from the other movies.
He is, and he's like, I have a bad feeling about this.
He says the thing?
He says it, and then the good guys are gonna get chased by stormtroopers and end up in a tunnel.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
Actually, it is, because they find a dagger that's a clue to the exact thing they're looking for.
Oh, wow, what are the odds of ending up in that exact spot after a chase?
Astronomical, but this is space, so that's okay.
Can't argue with that.
So anyway, then Rey heals a giant snake, and they get out of there.
She heals a snake? What are you talking about?
Well, you can heal people and animals by giving them some life force or something, I decided.
Oh, suddenly deciding that the Force can do things is tight.
It is. So anyway, this dagger has Sith writing on it that only C-3PO can understand, but he can't translate.
Why?
Because of his programming.
But actually, why?
To extend the plot a little.
Okay, gotcha.
So they need to go to this other planet to translate it, but Chewie gets captured.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he's being taken away on a ship, but Rey accidentally blows it up.
Oh my god, she kills Chewbacca? That's such a powerful, shocking moment. I can't believe it.
Well, that's good, because it doesn't actually happen.
What?
Well, I want this film to have impactful moments, but I don't really want to deal with the actual impact, so I'll usually, you know, undo them immediately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so Chewbacca blows up, but it turns out he was on another ship, so it's okay.
Okay.
C-3PO has his memory wiped and has to say bye to his friends, but R2 has a backup, so it's okay.
Wow.
Rey stabs Kylo Ren, but then heals him, so it's okay.
Could have been an interesting one.
A planet blows up, but the characters we know get off it somehow, so it's okay.
Wow, so not really many consequences at all.
Well, when Luke said no one's ever really gone in the last movie, I really took that to heart as, you know, a storytelling device.
Yeah, sure seems that way.
Yeah, so both Luke and Han are gonna come hang out a bit too.
Sure, why not?
So anyway, then they're gonna go to another planet to meet a Power Ranger that Poe used to date and a little alien dude named Babu Frick.
Oh, what's his deal?
Oh, well, he's just the cutest little merchandising opportunity.
I love it.
So then they go rescue Chewie and they get helped by Hux because it turns out he's a spy now.
Oh, interesting. It'll be cool to see how that plays out through the movie.
Oh no, he dies right away.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, well, see, in The Last Jedi, we turned him into a little baby boy, so I had to replace him with somebody in intimidating.
If you say so.
I do. So then the good guys go to another planet and discover that the dagger points at a thing they need to get to go to a place.
What, the dagger tells them where to go?
Yeah, it turns out that somebody made this thing, so if you stand in a very specific spot and point it at the Death Star wreckage, it shows you where you need to go.
And they just happen to be standing in that specific spot. Wow, 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 wow.
So then Rey finds this GPS thing that she needs, but then she's confronted by an evil version of herself for about 10 seconds.
What? Why does that happen?
So we can show it in the trailer.
That's smart.
So then Rey and Kylo Ren have a fight and Finn is also there for some reason.
Oh yeah, what's Finn up to in this movie?
Well, he's gonna be there for sure.
That sounds good to me.
He's also gonna meet some other ex-stormtroopers that defected too.
Oh, that's good, driving home the fact that stormtroopers are like real people, you know?
Exactly, and Finn's also gonna kill a bunch of stormtroopers.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's pretty good at it now.
But I guess he has no choice, right? So it's like a somber moment when he has to do it.
I don't know, he shouts woo a lot when he kills them.
Wow, I don't know how this guy feels about stormtroopers.
Unclear, sir. He also has a big secret he's about to tell Rey when he thinks they're gonna die.
Oh, what is it?
I don't know.
Fair enough. And what about Rose?
What about her?
Well, I mean, she was a major player in the last movie. Her and Finn kissed at the end of it.
Right, yeah, but she has to study, so.
She has to study?
Yeah, I mean, she would have gone on the adventure, but she has, like, a lot of studying to do.
Well, okay then. And what about Maz Kanata? Are we gonna get answers?
Answers about what?
Well, in The Force Awakens, Han asked how she got Luke's lightsaber, and she was like, good question for another time.
Oh, yeah, well, that is a good question for sure.
Yeah.
But like, probably best for another time.
Did you forget to pay that off?
I forgot to pay that off.
That's okay, it happens.
I mean, a lot.
So anyway, then Rey's gonna go confront Palpatine on this planet called Exegol.
Okay.
And the Resistance are gonna fight a massive fleet of Star Destroyers.
How did Palpatine build so many Star Destroyers and staff them?
By being off-screen for several movies.
That works for me. So what ends up happening on Testicle?
Exegol.
What did I say?
Well, Palpatine is like, you know, Rey, if you kill me, my spirit's gonna take over your body.
I guess that can be a thing.
And then Ben shows up and Palpatine's like, ooh, a Force Dyad.
A Force Dyad?
A Force Dyad. So then he turns into a Dementor and starts sucking the life out of them.
So stuff is just kinda happening, huh?
Stuff's just kinda happening. So then he throws Ben off a cliff thing.
Uh-oh.
And then everything's just going awful. I mean, there are way too many enemies in the space battle.
Oh man, it's gonna be tough for the Resistance to win now.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, just when it seems like all hope is lost, Falcon's gonna be like, on your left, and a bunch of heroes show up.
What?
Sorry, Lando's gonna be like, we're here, and a bunch of heroes show up.
Oh, very cool.
And then Palpatine's gonna use lightning to attack Rey, and he's gonna be like, I am all the Sith.
Wow, 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 wow.
And then Tony's gonna be like, and I am Iron Man.
What?
Sorry, Rey's gonna be like, and I am all the Jedi.
I love it.
Yeah, and so he's shooting lightning at her, and she's blocking it with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're struggling, but then she uses two lightsabers, and that does the trick. He gets hit with his own lightning.
Couldn't he have just stopped shooting the lightning?
Yeah, but he doesn't. That's kind of his thing.
It does seem to be. That guy zaps himself a lot.
So then Rey dies.
Oh, okay.
But then it turns out Ben isn't dead, because falling off of things doesn't really mean anything in Star Wars.
Right.
And then he transfers some life force to Rey, so she wakes up.
Wow. They should kiss.
What?
They should have a little kissy kiss.
Oh, I don't really know that there was like a romantic...
Make them kiss.
Okay, yeah, so they kiss, and then he dies.
Oh, he dies.
Well, yeah, he transferred the last of his life force to her.
Oh, so she can like transfer it back to him now?
Well, yeah, but she doesn't.
Oh, savage.
So then all the good guys are gonna have a big party.
Very fun.
And Lando and this ex-stormtrooper girl talk about how she doesn't know where she's from, and he's gonna be like, well, let's find out.
What does that mean?
Unclear, sir. Either a spin-off adventure, or he's gonna hook up with somebody 55 years younger than him.
Wow, well, that's either exciting or gross.
Potentially both. So what do you think overall?
Well, it sounds great, but one thing's kind of bugging me.
What's that, sir?
Well, you said that Palpatine, like, transmits a message. I just wish we could hear what it was.
Oh, yeah, I actually had a pretty cool idea about that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you heard of Fortnite?
What?
Hi, this is Ryan George from The Thing You Just Watched. Please enjoy this slideshow from The Thing You Just Watched.